This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The Children's Museum of Houston hosts a Harry Potter book release party on Friday, July 20th from 8 p.m. to midnight. It is hosted by Perfectus, the Houston Harry Potter meetup group. The Children's Museum of Houston is located near Herman Park. Its address is 1500 Bins. Again, the Children's Museum of Houston hosts a Harry Potter book release party on Friday, July 20th. The event is free. This is KPFT Houston.
It seems like every pledge drive, somebody comes onto the air to offer me a t-shirt or a coffee mug for my pledge of financial support to KPFT. But can I get a mug or a shirt some other way?
Don't get the wrong idea. It's not all about the mug.
What do you mean?
Supporting KPFT is all about the great music, news, and information that you hear each day. It's all about being informed and aware of what's going on in our world.
It's about supporting the idea that independent radio in Houston and the surrounding area is important and appreciated.
The thank you gifts are a nice touch, but what's most important is the fact that a radio station like KPFT is here on the Gulf Coast.
So why wait until we offer you a mug? Visit kpft.org to make your pledge any time of the day or night.
Supporting KPFT stimulates your heart and mind better than coffee ever could. Visit kpft.org to make your pledge of support.
You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
KPFT Houston.
With so many gay men
and so little time,
it never has been an obsession of mine to try and pursue heterosexual men, the ones who are real
or the ones who pretend.
That kind of facade's not attractive to me. I like my lovers as queer as can be. Give me a homosexual, loves in a homo-emotional way. I like a man of acceptance. Give me a guy who is glad to be gay. Some of my fears, the ultimate thrill, seducing a straight man by bending his will.
But I am a man who loves men who love men, and that is, of course, what I most recommend.
While I'm sure there are men who just need some straightening, I haven't the patience to be educating. Give me a homosexual, one who's perfected his oral technique. I like a man who's had practice. Give me a guy who is fluent in Greek. And I don't understand all those classified ads filled with desires that I've never had.
Straight-looking Marines seek straight cop to please.
How straight do they look when they're down on their knees? It's a taste that I've never been able to savor. This preoccupation with sexist behavior. They limit themselves to those roles in their world, but we don't have any such models to clone. We're perfectly free to develop our own. Give me a homosexual. I don't want a husband. I don't want a wife. I like a man who's my equal, someone who's made it the style of his life. Give me a in a homo-emotional way. I like a man of acceptance. Give me a guy. Give me a guy.
Give me a guy
who's glad to be gay.
Warning. following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the 14th, July 14th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be the other one.
You know, they had problems with the mics on the last show. And, yeah. You know, it was really simple to fix. I just had to channel the spirit of Miss Scott Lewis.
Oh.
It just seemed to stick it in!
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. Oh, it was unhooked?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So it's difficult telling her, you know, you just gotta force it in sometimes and to hear that pop.
It's hard to tell that to a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And quite embarrassing for gay men to do that.
You know, you think her mother would have been able to teach her that. I'm pretty sure Lisa knows about snapping in attachments and getting it down there.
I'm sure she does.
We've heard enough of her show to know that.
Oh, yes. I love that show. Hot and Bothered, the best show that ever came before After Hours.
Amen.
I mean, what a fabulous show. The second best show was the Acid Jazz Folks. Really liked having them before.
Oh, that's back when I started, right?
Yeah, long time ago. Anyway, we are going back memory lane, and it's all gear for September 6th of this year, which will be the 20th anniversary of After Hours. And one of the things that happened tonight, which has never happened before, is that a friend of After Hours, Mr. Jim Crawford, held a fundraiser for us.
Yes.
Over at EJ's tonight. And it just went way beyond my expectations. I was just flabbergasted at not only the quality of the entertainment, but the diverseness of the people who were there from all kinds of different groups. I just floored. Absolutely floored.
Just to give you an idea of who all we had there.
Yes.
This is the preliminary list. There's probably more. Giovanni, uh-huh. Lauren, Cougar, Gingivitis, Miz. Miz with a period without a period.
Yes.
Susan Hayes. Alton.
Who will be with us later for the Arisa segment. Alton. Mr.
Alton.
Tony's corner pocket.
Abby Normal was there.
Yes, who her evil twin brother.
The evil sister of
Lloyd.
The evil sister of Lloyd Powell, who actually started this show. I mean, he was one of the first people who was ever on it, and that's how I got to meet him 20 years ago.
Morgan Fairview.
Yes, our mother of Montrose.
Yorkie.
Morgan's lover.
Pocahontas.
Lady of the Court, ICOH.
Michelle from Hell.
Oh, Michelle from Hell, yes, because she's got her sensation going on next weekend. We'll be talking about that later.
They're going to be finding red feathers all over.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Because sensation is a pansexual kink fest. So just let that simmer in your brains for a while.
Sewage Debris visited us.
Yes, yes, one of the Debris sisters.
Craig, Sarah, and the Showlanders.
Yes, yes.
Because I was up and close personal with the Showlanders.
Ooh.
Ronnie Siebert was there.
Uh-huh.
I think there should be Orlin. Orlin was also performed for us there. And God help us, Jimmy and I performed.
We closed out the show with the song you heard at the very beginning of this show.
Romanoffs again, Phillips. Give me a homosexual. It was so nice for us to perform, and I wasn't in a dress, and you didn't have balloons hanging from your belt.
Yes. Yes, yes. That's the last time I was on stage. Anyway, we do have with us Eddie Garcia, who is events coordinator.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
And I know it wasn't your first time in a gay bar, but I still felt the need to protect you from some of those guys.
Thank you.
It was his grandfather instinct that kicked in.
Yeah, it was. But I bet you had no idea what to expect tonight.
Oh, it was great. It was awesome. I'm glad I was able to make it. I'm exhausted from work, but I'm really, really happy that I made it out there. It was tremendous. Support that they showed for your show, for KPFT, a lot of love, a lot of beautiful people, beautiful performers, great performances, and just really, I don't know, re-energized me there to be there and to party with a lot of beautiful people.
Yeah. I know ever since the show ended, he's been saying, next time we do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that.
and the amazing...
Yeah, I can't wait till next time.
And the amazing thing was, you know, Jimmy's done this stuff with after performances, going into the count room.
Yeah.
And sitting there and counting the money and having to unfold it. And... seeing that pile, and even, you know, I mean, like, Jimmy's used to seeing this amount. He was able to look at the table and just go, it's this amount. Jimmy was floored.
I was floored.
With what we had,
did. It was twice what I expected. I was thinking somewhere between $300 and $500. We raked in $750 tonight from EJ's.
Now,
you know, with a limited crowd.
Tremendous amount of generosity.
Yeah.
Now, $40 of that was raised. Jimmy was on both ends, so to speak, of this two $20 transactions.
Careful. Well, I wasn't, I didn't intend to do it. I was just, you know.
Egged on by the crowd.
Yeah, well. You know,
caught up in the moment.
I'm known for wearing pink, and every pride parade, as we go by Mary's, I make my annual bow to Mary's. You know, whatever float I'm on, I make sure everybody stops so I can make the bow, and prove to the crowd on the roof of Mary's that. Yes, even under my jeans, I am still wearing pink. But I didn't get a chance to do that this year on the KPFT float, so I felt the need to do it on stage at EJ's this evening. And somebody decided to auction off my underwear.
Yeah, somebody offered 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually offered 25.
You did?
Cents.
Oh. Yeah, well, thank you for that.
Hey, that wasn't the low bid. Somebody brought up a nice shiny penny for you, too.
Yes, they did. That was sweet of them. Just real sweet.
And then, but of course, you know, since Jimmy couldn't swing in the breeze there, they chalked one of the bartenders into auctioning off his underwear.
Yes.
And which Jimmy is the proud possession and holder of, and...
Wearer of.
Wearer of.
Well, I had to put something on. yes. Anyway, that wasn't just it, but we had the Colt 45s who kicked in $100.
Thank you very much for that.
ICOH that kicked in 50.
Thank you.
And my friend Whitney and Michelle from Hell were there, and they had brought glow sticks to sell. And they are incredible. They have no qualms about going to anybody in the bar or outside of it and saying, give me money. You need to give me money. We're raising money. And she raised $125 from sale of glow sticks. And so, but still, when we were counting out those dollars, there were a lot of dollars.
Yeah.
And that's how we raise money in our community. $1 at a time. Yes, $1 at a time. And Eddie, I know that you have been up for hours and hours and hours, so I'm not going to make you stay up any longer, but I just want to thank you for being here and all the help that you've done, because, you know, there's lots of hoops you have to jump through to get an event through KPFT, and because you have to do it right, and you have to do it this way, and you have to do it that way, and you didn't exactly do that, but Eddie caught the flack, and Eddie smoothed everything over, and I was so happy you were there. It's nice to know you're in our corner.
Thank you. Thank you, and it was a pleasure to be there. It was an awesome event. I enjoyed it tremendously.
And I can't wait to the next one.
I can't wait to the next one.
Yeah.
Yes, this event, you were in our corner. Next time, you'll be on our team.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, I'll be up there. Remember, I told you. I promise. I'll perform.
Great. We're looking forward to that. Thank you. Now we're going to do a couple of community events before we get Ulises on.
Oh, we are? Okay.
Yes, we are. Because we have.
Because that's what our show is about.
Yes, it is what it's about. It is about that. It's we're about promoting events in and the bars who have them in the community, because that's where the good work is being done. I want to do a couple of things from ICOH, because I want to mention that there is an award that ICOH presents. Let's see, has announced the nominees for the Barry Petrie Community Commitment Award. Each year, ICOH holds an annual ball called Enthronement to commemorate the year of the reigning monarchs and to crown the newly elected Apollo and Gemini, named 2 months prior to the ball. Any member of the Houston community is eligible to nominate. Barry Petrie was not only a good friend, but a role model within the community, says Gerald McNeil. He touched so many aspects of the Houston GLBT community and beyond. I wanted this award to recognize someone who has made a commitment to the Houston community, giving above and beyond. Nominations will be taken until July 25th. The Board of Directors and College of Monarchs will narrow the nominations to the top five and place them on the August ballot for Apollo Emperor and Gemini Empress. Therefore, the community will not only be voting on the monarchs, but will vote on the award recipient as well. The winner of the Barry Petrie Community Commitment Award will be announced prior to the enthronement ball in October with the presentation of the award at the ball itself. So this is a community-voted award. If you want to place nominations, please email enthronement@spacecityempire.org or to Gerald McNeil, GerelMcNeil @yahoo.com. And by the 25th, so we can get them on the ballot. Okay. Other things going on in the community. Of course, every Sunday is Breakfast at Mary's at 10 a.m. That's so you can get that cocktail early before noon. And then, of course, the Mint Julep contest is happening tomorrow at 3:30 at Rich's. And ICOH is also having a show at Tony's at 7 p.m. Every Wednesday is the Jukebox Show at Mary's at 8:30. next Friday night at George. Kelly and Denny will be having a show at 8:30. And that's all we're going to talk about there.
Whitney and
Michelle are on the line.
Well, they just called in and said congratulations about the fundraiser.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because I was just about to talk about the Summer Sin Fest happening. Ooh. Well, July 21st at the Meridian Houston at www.meridianhouston.com, and that is an what I call the Pansexual Kink Fest happening. Cadaver Cabaret, Dominion, Temple of Flesh, the Serpentarium. Oh, that. It's kind of scary for me, even. Vendors and dungeons and, oh my.
Those flyers look great.
Oh, you should see the ones in color.
Yeah, we had one last week.
Oh, okay. The Meridian is located at 1503 Chartres, Houston. Now, this is a fundraiser for Legacy Community Center. Community Health Services. So I can mention that starts at 8 p.m., 21 and up only, $15 in advance, and $20 day of the show. That's VIP. General admission starts at 10 p.m., and it's 18 and up only, $10 in advance, and $15 day of the show. So, we've got Intelligent Lighting by Dimensional Lighting and Sound. Erotic Multimedia by Dirty South Ravers? Wow. Raffle benefiting the Legacy Community Health Center. DJs Vampire James and DJ Spinlock. Ooh, absolutely no cameras around allowed. That means it's going to be a hot time. That is the place to be, 1503 Chartres. For more information, go to dubcubedmyspace.com/Michelle from Hell. Ooh. Or dubcubedtempleofflesh.com. Michelle did a fabulous number in the show tonight. She was so hot. I saw Eddie kind of twitching over there in the corner.
Yeah, she was teasing us there because we went up. Because Jimmy and I, when we went and tipped her. Supposedly, we don't know how to tip a woman properly.
Oh, we don't?
I'm sorry, you know.
Well, we're gay men. What do we know about that?
We're gay men. It's been a while since I've been in a titty bar.
Yes, you did. I saw you kneel down.
Okay. I mean, I don't have to go to a titty bar and pay the cover and all that. I just look down and I get my own, you know. Okay, so I have to stall for time there. Oh, he's leaving the studio completely. Hooray. Alrighty. What the hell am I supposed to talk about? I'm just going to put you all on then. Your mics are on.
Hello.
Fabulous. Great.
Joining us here for the Reese's Quickie. Is
Susan Hayes
and Sherry Harrell,
Duke and Duchess of Reese's, Reign 23.
You have to move now.
Oh.
It's my turn. It's my turn.
There we go.
Yeah. Yep. Headsets, folks.
Oh.
What are we doing here, Ron?
I don't know. Put them on your head, so...
One of these mics probably needs to be turned off.
It's off now.
Okay. It's not mine. And who have we got?
Should be.
Probably my microphone. You tends to do that. Tends to do that.
We have Susan Hayes.
Susan Hayes and Sherry Harrell.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Welcome to you both.
Thank
to
you.
After Hours.
We're so happy to be here.
Have you ever heard the show? Bits and pieces?
I'm usually after a show or at home asleep by this time.
Gotcha. Well, next time after a show, you'll tune us in on the radio on the way home. A lot of people listen to us that way.
Actually, I go online and I look and see what's going on, mm-hmm. but I don't get to hear a lot of it.
Yeah.
My dad's on the TV, so I have to mute it all the time.
Oh, actually, we just want to sit and talk and chat about ARESAs. Tell us a little bit about the organization for those who, for some reason, may be tuning in for the first time. And after tonight's show, there may be folks who are doing just that.
We can hope so.
So, you are with the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc. of Houston.
That's fabulous. I'm reading and I can't say that. I just say Reese's.
No, we've been promoting the court for a very long time. I'm very proud of the work that you've done, and the money that's been raised has been phenomenal.
Well, we have a good time every weekend. I mean, we've been part of the court for about a year and 5 months, year and 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we were brought into the court, and it's a wonderful organization. We just enjoy it day in and day out.
So what do they do?
Well, we go out and we raise money.
How?
Fundraisers, car mm-hmm. washes,
shows.
Bake sales.
Bake sales.
Yes.
What kind of shows?
Performance artist shows.
Okay.
Okay, we go out there and some of us do live acts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, live songs. No live acts. They always say that at the beginning of the show. No live acts. No animal acts.
There's lip syncing, male and female.
Lip syncing, male and female.
And drag.
And drag and non-drag. And
Live singing.
Mm-hmm.
And just going around, I sell raffle tickets. That seems to be my forte.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Yeah, that's my forte. We like to measure inseams.
You know, I bought double the amount I intended to buy when you were selling them one time.
I'm
because,
generous.
Well, you just drug some hot-looking guy over and said, let's do the inseam here.
Well, that's it. You get the tallest guy in the room and you talk him into it. Hey, $10 an inseam.
Yeah.
Come on, good deal.
Yeah.
Give away fabulous prizes. And you get an inseam measure.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we do shows. I mean, we do just boodles and boodles, and we just have a good time. It's just fun.
Yeah, it is.
Who could imagine?
Well, so do you...
You're going to get her to giggling. She's not going to stop.
Not me, either. I'm famous for it. I just, laugh halfway through the show. That's the type of thing it is. This show is just a bunch of gay people sitting around talking.
That's cool.
Yes, it is.
We throw some music by openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender artists in between. And
that's
just
what I like.
3 hours of queer life right here. That's what it's about.
See, we're going to have to stay up later.
Yeah.
So I can't put Nancy Drew or Charlie Chan in. That's what I go to sleep to, so now I'm going to put the radio
on. Okay, works for me. Do you know some of the things that are coming up?
Yes, of course, I made a list.
Ah, good.
I know that.
So I don't have to bring my sheets in.
You can. We can have all our sheets together. It's okay.
You probably have more than I do. I only have about 3 items.
I take notes.
Good.
Bar napkins or anything, I take notes. There's a reason for that. Ask my wife. She reminds me.
Uh-huh.
I know on Friday, July 27th, my accountant, my personal best friend, Matt Spear, is mm-hmm. going to be having the Summer of Love. So
Ooh.
I had to go out and get all my 60s together.
Because
I was born in 63. I'm a Kennedy baby. So I had to, we had to go back. We're going to have some fun. What?
Nothing.
I'm thinking of how old I was in 63.
Now, you just told me earlier, but so I don't repeat that. So you told me earlier how old you are, but you were proud of that. I'm proud of that, too. And I like the pink.
Thank you.
I bit on the underwear. I have pictures. Everybody knows me. I'm the one with the
I
camera.
Noticed that. I noticed
I,
that.
I'm the archivist for our court. And I take a lot of pictures, and I blind everyone before they come out.
Oh, that's going to be a lovely addition.
There's some good pictures in there. We were looking at them. I was like, I wanted to remind you, I got pictures. We're going to have some fun.
63, let's see.
Where were you in 63? No, come on, it was... Elementary school, junior high.
Yes.
Nowhere by the grassy knoll.
No, okay. I wasn't there.
Okay, we're good.
No. I was in biology.
I was a part of a biology project in 63. But that's all right. It obviously went very well.
It sure did.
It went well.
It sure
we're happy.
Did.
I'm happy for it. That's the smiley face you see. That's me.
Oh, I had many summers of love.
That's going to be fun.
That's going to be a fun show. Now, where is it again?
It's going to be at Jaws. They have a brand new sound system. And what I was
Thank God.
Yes. We're happy about that.
Because the old one really did suck.
Well, you know, we had Josh Duffy at one of my shows one night. And poor guy, you know, he was singing. He was doing such a fabulous job. And every time he sang, the music went down.
Yeah.
We tried to tell him, and the music went down. He's singing, the music went down.
I know.
Finally, it just came out perfect. I mean, he was just fabulous.
I met him in a club and bought his CD right off of him.
Oh, he's fabulous.
God, we've been playing him and playing him and playing him because there's about a half a dozen songs on there that I just love, 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 love.
Oh, he does so much in Houston. He goes to Austin, but
yes,
we just love it when he's around.
Yes, because he's not, you know, this is a guy who makes his living now from singing. And, you know, of course he's got a day job, but still he's making his living from singing. But he'll just jump right into any benefit. Fundraiser.
And he cares.
Yes, he does.
Give it back. Got to give it back. And that's what we like. Just give them back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, got to appreciate. We love George and Mac over there. George's, they've done so much.
Yes, they
have. For the court, for the community,
yes.
For all the organizations. They're just out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just so involved. And we're just so happy to be out there with them. And
it's a fun little neighborhood bar.
And they just do some good drinks. Like, you know, Jim said. You know, I can put them back. I like to hang with the boys.
See, me and my Diet Coke.
Me and my Coke.
Yes, see.
Yes. Designated wife.
I'm the DD.
Yes.
For anybody.
Me too. Well, me too.
No, just for me.
Oh. Okay. Oh,
well,
thank you.
Well, after that, Arisi's has a direct benefit, which we do once a month, mm-hmm. and it's for our sisters this year.
Oh, good.
This month.
I love that group.
Yes. It's going to be by our IPR Falcon and our Grand Duke Scott Kenyon, and
mm-hmm.
that is Saturday, July 28th at Chances in the Barn.
Mm-hmm. Chances?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, we're going to get a show at Chances.
When's the last time there was a show at Chances?
Dyke Diva when I stepped down.
See?
Sorry. Did you have that on a piece of paper?
That I didn't have. I didn't have that. I know. We don't do enough shows over there.
I wish we could do more.
Yeah. Yeah.
We enjoy them.
And they've got a great space for shows.
Well, they just remodeled. It's fabulous.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
No, well, after the fire sale.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
I was in there taking some pictures last week, and they were nice.
It's nice over there.
Wow.
See, all the other bars have learned to grill outside.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gotten that yet.
Okay.
Women.
Yeah.
I think, Jimmy, you have to remember, like here at KPFT, we had a fire, we got a whole bunch of nice new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens at a club.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they got nice granite bars now.
Yeah.
But it looks good over there.
I say you can always tell the difference between a men's bar and the women's bar. The men's bar, there are high stools and lots of places and lots of mirrors and lots of walls to stand against. And you go to a woman's bar, there's tables and chairs. Because women like to sit down and talk, and men like to preen and show off.
Well, they have a lot of booths at Chances, so I'm trying to figure out the whole booth thing they got there.
Oh, booth, huh?
No mirrors, though. I know that. That's okay. Trying to find a can of hairspray.
No.
Sorry. I primp. Good time.
Must be partly gay man or something.
Yes. I think there's some cross mix there, and that's okay. I gotta have my hairspray.
So what else do we have going?
August 3rd, my IP, Chris Bach, will be having a show at 8:30 at the BRB.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fabulous. Sushi got me into all this, and God bless her, and we just love her to death. She got me going and giving back to the community, and she said, you need to come out and perform. And I said, you've got to be insane. But it worked.
Hey.
So we had a good time.
Yes.
Okay. August 4th, I would like to announce that my emperor, Chris Beck, is going to have his birthday. And we're going to have the birthday bash at the Undercurrent in Galveston at 9 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Let me do that one. So. And August 5th, Aurora Breyer, my IP, and Craven Moorhead.
Oh, I love Craven.
By Countess, we're going to be having a show.
And Aurora, too.
Yes. We're going to have a show together. It's going to be Twisted Wild and the most fabulous color you ever saw. Color explosion everywhere. It's going to be fabulous. We can go on and
definitely
on.
Definitely some pink going on, though, probably.
Okay.
I would think pink. Definitely pink. So,
did we forget that one?
No, that's what I said. Yes, Reese's is proud to present For the Girls, a USO show benefiting his sisters, presented by...
Oh, okay, okay. I was so excited.
At the Chances Bar. The one that's on Westheimer.
Yes, that's the one.
Chances
the one that's still, you know, got the Charlie sign. I'll keep going there for breakfast, you know.
And then, you know, and you just, they're just not doing it. Yeah,
you
know.
I used to love eating there. That takes us back a couple of years, too.
Yeah.
But, instead of, but now they have fish tacos on the menu.
Stop.
I love it.
That's the bar before Coco's and Montrose Diner.
Yes, but you can get a fish taco.
Don't even. Don't even. No.
We ate before.
I had to explain it to him.
Yeah, he did. What do I know? I've been gay all my life.
So have I.
You know?
I just had to try, you know, other things first, but then I figured it out.
No, I never did. No.
Neither did
that
she.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. I knew it for.
Well, I had a crush on a girl.
Didn't have a name for it.
You're the one wearing the pink underwear.
Yes.
No, it's black now.
Oh, that's right. We changed that with
yes,
Michael.
Yes, we had to. Yes.
That was fabulous.
Wasn't that fun?
I thought it was fun. That just
totally unexpected. I
loved it. And that's what you say. What do you do at shows? Well, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so fun.
That's right.
We had underwear, exotic underwear at a show that I did, and then we've done modeling, and just sometimes people get up there and they do production numbers.
Yeah.
And you have all
you
kinds
just
of
never
people
know.
Just get up there, and it's about raising money,
mm-hmm.
having a good time. We're having a good time. Yeah, it's work sometimes because I leave work. We go to a show. We went to a five-year-old birthday party this morning, and then we came and did a fundraiser. But you think about it, it's like, if it's helping and it's aiding, I mean, there's no better reward than
that.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
It's all got to come around.
And it's good people doing it and wonderful bars who are letting us do it.
And well, I'm proud of, you know, the Reese's has so many members that come out and so many Monarchs and past Monarchs, and we
yes.
get together and we just have a good time.
Yes.
You know, just like a lot of organizations in our city that I'm very proud and very honored to stand beside mm-hmm. and support, and just I'm glad that we're all together because we're all going to need it at some point.
Yes. I want to take just a couple of minutes because we're running over already, but because you're not only just involved in the Reese's. You're also Ms. Gay Pride.
Ms. Gay Pride 2007, yes.
And so you're doing double duty. You're doing more shows than you ever thought you were going to be doing because you're doing shows for Reese's and you're also representing and putting on shows as Ms. Gay Pride.
And I enjoy that. I never thought it could happen like that. Actually, I was Ms. Gay Pride 2006, but they just wouldn't let me go.
Yes.
They just kept dragging me back
yes.
in.
And you happily. I mean, it's not like they had to shoehorn you back into it. I mean, you jumped right out there and said, yes, yeah, sure.
Well, everybody was watching. I had to. But first, I looked at my wife. I looked at my wife, and I'm like, is it okay? And she's like, thumbs up. Yeah, go. See ya. I'm like, get a picture.
But you just, I mean, you did a fabulous job on the 4th of July over at Tony's Corner Pocket. That was such a fun show.
Bering Omega Dental Clinic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fabulous.
And talk about ad-lib, because, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen from one show from one act to the next, and you didn't know when the fireworks were going to start because you had to stop the show, you know, for the fireworks, and it was just great.
It was, and I didn't have any raffle tickets itself, but I had to fill the time. So, I mean, there was so much help. I mean, I have to give it up to Lillian Devereaux, and she just, like, filled it in with me, and then Tony said, we want a third set, and I was like,
yeah.
I put 8 numbers on this CD. I'm ready to go.
Man, and you know, you had folks there that were going to match money and said, if you get to $500, We'll match it.
And we had Bobby Ray.
And had Eric, my bling.
Eric, Boo Boo. We had them all in underwear.
Incredibly see-through underwear.
Got pictures.
I'm
getting the CD ready, I promise.
I have so much more respect for that man.
You know, Scott Kenyon singing live. He had so many different organizations there. TGRA in the
house. It really was the best 4th of July I have ever had.
Thank you. I'm so glad. I mean, we had a good time. She wasn't there, so we kind of were like satellite live on the phone with her, telling her what was going on.
Oh, it was great. It was so much fun. And plus, he just stood up, looked out the front door of Tony's, and had the best seat for the fireworks.
Oh, I know.
It's great.
We had a blast.
It's great.
And we do. We have a lot of good fun in a lot of shows, and it's like, if you don't come out to the shows, you're not going to know what happens.
Yeah.
And after you hear about it, you guys were talking about the event tonight. It was just a fabulous event.
Yeah.
Fabulous fundraiser. It starts with an idea. Somebody goes live with it and does something with it. Before you know it, you have results that you can never imagine before you started it that you could have. And every little bit counts.
Now, Jim Crawford was the one who just put that all together for us.
And it
was
just,
you know, I woke up this I woke up this afternoon. And
so did
some
I. Don't worry, I'm down late.
Has me evening.
Oh, yeah.
And I only knew of three people who were going to be in this show tonight. And I thought, I don't know what I'm walking into, but... And then everybody showed up.
It was fabulous. That's how it happens. Sometimes you think three or four people. Believe me, I've had a couple shows, like my Bond show. I thought I had, and then I ended up with like 25 Bond girls. And I was like, yippee. So, and even my St. Patrick's Day show, I brought, you know, my Lucky Charms. Bought a box of Lucky Charms, but it worked. But those kind of things, I mean, that's why you come out, just to see what's going to happen and participate. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you guys performed that number to close out, I was just like watching going, that's cool. I like that song. We'll take your song. Don't think I won't. I do duet.
We almost rehearsed it, too.
Y'all did good. I liked it.
Well, I want to thank you for being here for Erisa's and for Ms. Gay Pride.
Thank you. I have two others that are out of town right now, but mm-hmm. my Mr. and Ms. this year, they are fabulous. We're going to have a great year.
Yes, they are. They really are. It is going to be a great year.
Yes, and my wife can say five words. Please say five words.
Five words.
Okay.
She does most of the talking. So.
No, I do not.
You were the Rock of Gibraltar, though.
Yes.
Yes, I
actually,
can tell.
Actually, the quiet one.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, take us away.
You think I am Calgon?
Yeah.
And if you recognize that joke,
you're older than me.
You either need to turn off TV Land or get a hobby.
Kennedy, baby.
This button here.
Yeah.
I'm stumbling back in the club. I'm sweaty and kind of dazed. Shirt's untucked, my hair's messed up, but I got a smile on my face. I just need your boyfriend. 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 It is newly stained. I'm feeling kind of cold, even though I've just been trained. Cause I just need your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just need your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just need your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough of me.
that just did your boyfriend.
I love that
for
song.
For some strange reason, I got a feeling that at least the band name for this would be more appropriate for the next segment after Gigi when...
The Bootlickers?
Leather Trap comes on.
Oh, yes.
The Bootlickers.
Leather Ties.
Leather Ties? Okay.
Yes.
My microphone was a little bit feedback. And I wasn't sure. 1, 2, and 4?
Yes, and now Gigi has a phone interview.
Yes.
A flip-flop.
Oh, yes. We always flip-flop.
So, let's pull the mic down, and let me get your person on the...
And welcome to After Hours. This is the Sacred Sex segment, and we have a guest tonight that's going to be joining us. She runs a sacred sex temple called the Temple of the Red Lotus. Ayanna, you on the... I mean, not... I'm sorry. Can you hear us?
Can I hear you? Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
And then, I didn't realize if I was on.
Okay, yeah, I hold on, G. I do have to say this. You are on the air.
Great, well, I'm happy to be here.
And there, can you tell us a little bit about the Temple of the Red Lotus?
Yes, it's a temple that I run in Atlanta, Georgia, and the surrounding area. And it's dedicated to the practice and promotion of sacred sexuality and the Kadistu path.
And you've got a website also that you kind of run stuff off of?
Yes. A lot of what I do is online and event coordination. Their website is just www.templeredlotus.com. And I have forums associated with the website where I post a lot of my writing. And I also offer online counseling, and recently we have started doing online chats with special guests in the Kadistu community.
Yeah, and you just kicked off with the first one of those just recently, the other night.
This last week, yes.
Yeah, I was on that, and it was really very positive and very enlightening as far as some of the things, sex workers sharing with other sex workers, how to practice, what to do with people, and just sharing information.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times people who do various forms of sex work are isolated and don't have a lot of, community support. One of the things that I really enjoy doing through the temple is making connections across the country with other people who are doing sacred sexuality work.
And that's so important, because I know that, I've been running a sacred sex temple here in Texas for years and years, and for a long time I was just kind of on my own.
Right.
It's great to have the networking, and, I just came up with stuff. But can you tell us a little bit about what the temple does in Georgia?
A lot of what the temple does is goes to the pagan festivals, and we have a large red tent that we set up, and we decorate inside with silks and hanging fabrics, and we have a beautiful altar, and I do workshops on various aspects of sacred sexuality. I also do rituals. This spring, we kicked off a new ritual called a Yoni Puja, which is a worship of the vagina, and that went really well. I got a lot of positive feedback for that, and it was a healing, meditative, contemplative type ritual. We also do private sessions with people, anybody who needs to talk about various aspects of their relationship or their sex life, or trying to blend their sexuality and their spirituality, can come and speak to us. We do erotic massage. I have karuna sessions, and karuna is a Sanskrit word for compassion, and the karuna sessions are like, if you just basically need affection and intimacy in your life, you can come to the temple and have someone wash your feet and massage you and hold you and it's a very heart-centered, intimate, loving interaction.
And I think it's so important because we live in such a touch-deprived society.
We do, yeah.
Walk into any elevator and everybody's like, the more crowded it gets, the more people scrunch up so they don't touch.
So they don't touch, yeah, and they can't even talk.
Yeah. But touch can be so healing. And especially erotic touch.
Yeah.
When you get in a experienced giving erotic massage to people for the first time in their lives when it wasn't with an intimate partner, and it just opens up so much for people.
Oh, it does. It's amazing to watch the transformation. You know, people just have this look on their face that just they didn't even know it was possible sometimes to feel what we can help them feel.
Oh, yeah. Well, can you tell us a little bit about some of the paths? Do you follow, like, any particular path, or is it kind of a, like I do, bar a little here, bar a little there, put it, mix in a little of the tantric, mix in a little of the Taoist?
Yeah, my path, I am pagan, and I'm an eclectic pagan, so I take and borrow from a variety of spiritualities and blend them into my own form, just the things that make sense to me, and a lot of times it's the stuff that seems to be common in the various paths. And as far, I follow a Kadishtu path, and Kadishtu, we've said that word a couple times.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's a Sumerian term, the ancient Sumerian cultures, which originally was located where present-day Iraq is. The word refers to a certain level of priestess in the temples who, we believe, used sex in their sacred rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And so although I'm not trying to recreate that spirituality per se, because we really don't know a whole lot about it. It's so old and there are not that many records.
Yeah.
We can just kind of surmise from bits and pieces that people have figured out.
And also, but unfortunately, the Christian religion destroyed so many records with referencing any type of sacred sex from the past.
And even before the Christians took over, there was, you know, some other, the Aryan hordes that came in and kind of destroyed the matriarchal, matrilineal societies that existed, you know, and the Christian faith, unfortunately, contributed to the demonization of sex and women.
Yeah.
But the Kadishti, Kadishti is plural, for Kadishtu is singular. It's a kind of a recreation of a role that you can really see filled throughout history, throughout culture. Almost every culture has a place in society for mostly women, but some men, who can be sexually open and available for the masses.
Yeah.
You know, today we call them prostitutes, or worse words, because they are demonized in our society, but at one time they were venerated as priestesses.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what I'm trying to bring back, is that veneration for the person who can share that gift of the goddess with others.
Right. And a lot of people kind of get a misconception that, you know, if you're providing this kind of service, that there's ulterior motives, which there can be in some situations, or that they're, but usually not, or that you're providing it, the service, for money or for some other gain. And I know that I've met a lot of people that do this type of work, and it's coming from the heart. It's not something they're expecting a return on.
Right.
Do you have something, I mean, what is your approach with this?
Well, you know, it is unfortunate that there have been a number of people who have used the ideal of sacred sexuality as a front to get their own needs met.
Yeah.
And so there's been a little bit of an uphill battle for those of us who are more spiritually sincere in this path. I don't actually have a lot of direct intercourse or sexual content with my seekers or clients, because what I have found is that most people, more than anything else, need someone to listen.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to tell their story. They need to be able to just talk with someone who understands, who's not going to judge them. You know, someone
exactly.
who can be loving and non-judgmental. And so a lot of what I do is listen, is give that loving attention. And when there is sexual content, that is very much, you know, it's very negotiated. We talk about STDs and safer sex practices and relationship agreements that are in place. You know, if somebody is not single, then I request, you know, permission to do anything of a sensual or sexual nature from their partner or partners.
Yeah.
You know, and then we discuss what it is that we need to do and what the parameters are, what the boundaries are, and the fact that this moment is a moment in and of itself. It's not a promise of a longer relationship.
And
there's no money exchanged. You know,
right.
To finish answering that question, there's no money exchanged. This is not secular prostitution.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally I receive gifts of appreciation. Sometimes we get donations to the temple, you know, but there's not a direct relationship between the service and the
yeah.
you know, and any remuneration.
It sounds like there's the goal of the service is shifted too from trying to form a relationship. It is a type of relationship, but it's a relationship, sounds like, of focus more on healing and on some type of specific outcome other than a long-term relationship.
Right. And to, you know, outside of the temple, there are other Kadishu-type people who do their work in relationship.
Yeah.
I tend not to because I want to be more available to, you know, a wider variety of people, and I can only do relationship work so much. You know, I'm in a relationship currently that's absolutely wonderful, and we are mentors and co-kadishi with each other. But to do that kind of intense work with somebody long term would mean that I would not have time or energy for many other people.
Yeah.
But it is a relationship, you know, for a moment. And one of the things that helps me to be able to do what I do is I've learned to open myself to, you know, the universal sense of unconditional love. You know, some people worry that the feelings they feel from me in a session are fake. You know, if I can do this with everybody, it must not be real. But that's mm-hmm. not really true, because it's real. It's just not necessarily personal. It's not necessarily mine. I'm a channel.
Yeah. And I think that brings up an important part of the work of the Kadishu, is that we do channel erotic energy. We do channel this divine or spiritual sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the point of the session isn't just to help someone get their rocks off, so to
right.
speak. And it is so much deeper than just working with someone to get their rocks off. It's working to help open them up, open their spirit,
mm-hmm.
and fly.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it is sometimes also about helping them get their rocks off.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, this society wounds us so deeply around our bodies and our sexuality that we end up with all these sexual dysfunctions and hang-ups and inhibitions. And I remember one woman I helped who hadn't been able to orgasm in, like, 2 years. And after spending some time with her, we had a private session, and I helped her to come to orgasm. And immediately, that same day, she met someone and hooked up, and they got into a relationship, and she started orgasming regularly. And she was just ecstatic.
Yeah.
You know, and so sometimes what we do is simply help to push through some of that inhibition so that they can reconnect with their own sexual nature.
Exactly. And while the show before this one, they do a pretty interesting sex show right before After Hours. And they had a caller call in and said that it was a male and he was having troubles orgasming, ejaculating with his partner. And, you know, it's like in our society, if you have a problem like that, where can you go? You know, if you go to your family doctor, he's just going to try to look at it as a medical condition.
Right.
if you go to, you know, your priest, he's going to do whatever. Where do you go to get answers that work? And I think that's one of the things that temples like the Red Lotus and some of the other ones that I've seen popping up around the country are so important for us. Reliable, accurate education and information.
Yes. You know, in my ideal society, we would have temples that could operate openly, and it would be a normal, regular thing for the doctor to write you a prescription to go down to the local temple.
That would be great.
You know, and we could have initiatory experiences, and we could have educational workshops, very open. We could have a place for the people who have had, you know, illness and disability. They could come and they could, you know, find new ways to be sexual if the old ways weren't working anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in my ideal society, sex would be a positive, wonderful thing that we could share with one another.
That and teaching men how to have other types of orgasms besides just ejaculatory, and teaching women how to have all types of orgasms, including ejaculatory.
And teaching both that we don't have to be orgasm-centric.
Yes.
That there can be so much fulfillment in other aspects of our sexuality.
Yeah. And sensuality.
I need to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yes, and we should have quite a few listening in tonight from all over the country.
All over, yes. I know I put the word out, and I had a couple of friends dialed in on the internet.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two people with me that have experienced and have worked with me on the temple that I do here. And I was wondering, it's Robin and David.
Hello.
And I was wondering if either of them had questions for Inara.
Can't think about it. I don't really have any questions right now, but I will say that I have really a couple of experiences I've had to tell me about where my own healing work is as I work to let go of the messages I took on growing up, which I can look at now and say, this doesn't work. This ain't what I want.
Right.
This afternoon, Rob and I had an opportunity to model for a man who is an artist. We went over to his studio, and he took photographs of us in the nude. You know, we were the nude ones, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be fun to have a nude photographer.
Yeah, that'd be fun, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I did that once in photography class. We had a bunch of nude models.
Right.
And someone said, the photographer should go nude. And you know me, Miss Gigi, I just stripped my clothes off and started snapping pictures.
Right.
That's awesome.
But the idea was, you know, first it was me and Robin, you know, posing together in various poses, nothing quote-unquote erotic. There was a couple things might be, you know, you know, could be, you know, at least intimate.
A little sensual, but not, right. You know, not porn right. pornography.
And then, right. And then, right. You know, we then took turns posing individually. And I'll say my personal experience was I enjoyed it. You know, I like being nude.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I definitely was nervous about it. And, you know, had some, you know, there's an anxiety going. I just look at it and say, why am I doing that? And I can only look at it and say, it's just all the messages I took on as a kid, and in spite of what I may think consciously, those tapes are still playing. So
oh, yeah.
I'm basically having to reprogram the computer that we otherwise call a brain, you know, for with up-to-date information that better reflects where I am now and where I want to be.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. One of the things that I teach is self-awareness.
Right.
It's one of the very first steps you've got to take in order to live a more sacredly sensual life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to see where you're wounded and you've got to see where you've been programmed and conditioned before you can even think of changing that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, me, I got it from growing up in Southern Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah. Where I'm in Atlanta. I understand.
Oh, yeah. Bible Belt. Yeah, so it took a while for me to get where I can take pictures nude and be out in, like, the sacred temple. I mean, 5-10 years ago, there's no way in hell that I would go to a sacred temple.
Oh,
like
right.
That. I mean, it's like, I look, now when I go to the temple and I just walk around naked, it's no big deal. And there's all this stuff going on, different
yeah.
kinds of sexual activities like BDSM and Tendrick, you know, the pouring wax on people, stuff like that. And I'm thinking, boy, I should have came a long way.
Yeah, it's just fun to look back and see. Yeah, it's amazing to look back and see where we've come from.
Uh-huh.
I remember Gigi asked me, he was doing a ceremony where we basically walked through this maze that he had set up.
Right.
Where he had, like, two of the guys, Tim and Zachary, and can't think of her name right now.
Jess.
Yeah. They was basically catching us walking through the woods. This is like late at night, like about 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk into the woods and they come up with these pictures, posters of like these messages that we gotten in the past.
Ooh.
And then after we go through the little pathway, the little maze or whatever out in the woods, you basically walk through this little open clearing, and Gigi had like these candles and stuff, and he's dressed up like a priest, sex priestess or something like that. And he basically asked, you know, what's, you have any things that you want to talk about? And I'm like, it took me forever just to come up with something, because it's like, I realized that I had a problem with my sex, and I was like, well, I'm just gonna hit this head on.
Uh-huh.
Whatever problems I have, I'm going to face up with it head on. And by the time I got to the temple, about a couple of years, or was it last year? That I was like, okay, I cleared up so much stuff. It's like, So I was like,
you're cured.
Well, it is a constant journey, too, because there are times when, you know, some of this stuff is buried so deep that we're not even aware of it.
Right.
And
so
we're in a situation or with a person who triggers something, and then all of a sudden you have a reaction that you got to stop and go, whoa, okay, what the hell is this, you know?
Yeah. In fact, the ritual that she was referring to is a ritual I call the Pathway of Psychosexual Darkness.
Ooh.
And on this pathway, I put modern myths and modern taboos, and then some of the information how to get around these. So it's a very powerful ritual, but a little on the darker side.
Oh, that sounds awesome, yeah. Well, my partner and I, a couple of years ago, did a dark erotic ritual. We reenacted the Hades and Persephone myth.
Oh.
And that was intense and pretty dark and startled and disturbed several people. But through the course of it, we, you know, demonstrated how Persephone was not kidnapped and raped as is currently believed. She was seduced, but she had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in confronting some of that darkness and confronting our shadows, we are able to align ourselves with our purpose more completely.
And I think you know, that's a big part of what the temple's all about, I think, is helping people come to terms with their sexuality and sensuality and creating a sex-positive environment where we can grow and really become in tune with the positive forces of sexuality.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, Gigi has us taking these so-called courses to be in to run a temple.
Uh-huh.
And one of the major things that I have a problem with, one of the last things I can think of for the moment that I have a problem with, is masturbating in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gotten where... And I used to masturbate with lights out and everything in the nighttime. And since I've been doing he had us do his little exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we've been doing those exercises, I got where, okay, I can do it light on, do it daytime, whatever. And then I've gotten where I can do it in front of people. Where last year it was like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing.
Right.
I look kind of stupid or something.
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, what all training programs have you put together?
Well, I've got the Kadistu training program, which is five modules broken up into mind, body, heart, and spirit, and then the fifth module is how to take what you've learned in these previous modules and apply them in your work as Kadistu in the Temple of the Red Lotus.
Oh, okay.
And so we cover, in the mind section, we talk a lot about the history of the Kadistu and cross-cultural sacred sexuality practices. We look at the legal, the laws that are currently in place that affect us.
Mm-hmm.
We examine the ethics of what we do. Mm-hmm. I have a code of ethics that I've written up for the temple. In the body module, we talk about anatomy, physiology, dysfunctions. We talk about movement and dance. Various things that have to do with the physical aspects of sexuality. In the heart section, we talk about relationship, relationship styles, communication styles, different things having to do with the more emotional aspects of our work. And in the spirit section, we get into some of the nitty-gritty of sex magic, how to ground and center and how important that is, and how to do some more of the mystical aspects of what we do. And so there's like about 10 to 15 lessons in each module. It's going to take probably at least a year for someone to go through this, and at the end of that, they have the option of petitioning to become a staff member in the Temple of the Red Lotus.
Oh, wow.
But, taking the course and successfully completing it doesn't guarantee membership, because it's also, this time gives us the opportunity to get to know one another, to see if we would be a good fit as staff people together, So I've got that, and then on the back burner, as soon as I have some free moments, I have a course that I'm going to put together that's kind of an elaborate introduction to sacred sexuality itself, to give to anybody who's interested. I do individual workshops here and there, but I would really like to get into a more in-depth discussion of the different aspects of sacred sexuality to help people really learn to live a more sacredly sexual life.
That's awesome. One of the things I see so much in our society is that we get this kind of double message. We're enticed by sexuality through advertising, and then we're slapped on the hand and said, no, you can't have it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this society is quite hypocritical in the way we handle sexuality.
And so we get this kind of chaotic, weird attitude to living in this society of, well, it's all around me, but I can't have it.
Right, yes.
And so bringing the sacred back to sex and the spirituality back to sex, I think, kind of opens a whole new door for people. Because all of a sudden it says, well, here's another avenue that you can have it, and that it is okay to have sex, and it is okay to celebrate sensuality as well as sexuality.
Oh, definitely.
One of the stories I like to tell on this show from time to time was one time I had a boyfriend. Although he wasn't a lover, we were very sensual together. We took showers together. We washed each other's bodies. We laid in bed together and cuddled. We did a lot of intimate things together. Both of us had hard-ons at times, and sometimes we didn't. But we never had sex. We just had this pure intimacy that was very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And that is one of the things that after that relationship, I realized, wow, I've been robbed.
Uh-huh.
This society stole something very precious from all people, not just me. This ability to be sensual and to be close and to be a little bit erotic and to be have that close connection with another human being.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so taboo in our culture.
Yeah, one of my workshops is called Embracing Sacred Sexuality. And a big part of it is teaching what I call intercourse alternatives.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, the many different reasons why we might need an intercourse alternative. You know, sometimes in pregnancy or if there's been an illness or dysfunction, you know, there's a lot of different reasons. And so then I get, you know, everybody on the ground partnered up, and we go through a series of exercises that challenge them to find the sensual, the erotic, the intimate in non-sexual ways.
Yeah.
And we do eye gazing, we do synchronous breathing, we do the Abhyam position where, you know, one partner is sitting on the cross-legged lap of their other partner and their chakras are all aligned all the way up, and they can breathe together and eye gaze together and have that really sensual erotic moment with all their clothes on and nobody touching anybody's genitals.
Yeah.
You know, and they, at the end of this workshop, everybody is just so pumped up, and they're like, wow, you know, that they don't understand, you know, we rob people, you know, in this society of the ability to explore anything beyond genitoerotic stimulation.
Yeah. And I think that's part of creating a sex-positive environment is giving people permission again.
Yeah.
And giving people that space and safe space to do that in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. And, never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I just remember being in middle school and even in elementary school where we used to do that with our clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even realize that's what that was called. And because we were worried, we didn't really know how to do it, you know, all the way yet. And
right.
Then we were worried that people were going to catch us. So we would do that with our clothes on. And it was actually sometimes it got an orgasm, a full body orgasm. And didn't even know that's what it was for a long time. Even in elementary school doing that.
Yep. Yeah, it's you know, we are born sensual beings, and our culture cannot handle the idea of children being sensual, you know, and people equate the word sensual with sexual, and they attach adult meanings to things that are not the same.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I have a friend who had a daughter recently, and she, you know, the little girl was like 18 months old, and she's sitting in her high chair, and she's just playing, and she's rocking back and forth, and her mom looks over and sees her, and she's rocking, and, you know, her whole face is kind of scrunched up, and then all of a sudden, she just kind of tenses all up and goes, ah, And she called me up and she said, I think my daughter just had an orgasm. And I was like, yes, Robert did. Yeah, but people don't want to think about that because it just disturbs them so much that they attach adult meanings to things that are simply, you know, they're sensations.
Yeah.
You know, kids are in that exploring stage and their bodies, we've not taught them yet at that age, they're bad or ugly or evil.
Yeah.
You know?
I went to a workshop with Kate, that Kate Bornstein put on one time. It's called The Non-Genital Orgasm.
Ooh.
And she was talking about how there's many different types of orgasms. There's things called gigglegasms, when you have one that's giggling fits.
Oh, yeah.
Or a crygasm.
Yep.
Or a tempergasm. Temper tantrum gasm. You stomp your feet and you hold your breath and all this energy. And, you know, a lot of times we define orgasm as just this one little thing.
Right.
So many different things, or can
be. Oh, yeah.
Well, now we're running a little on time, out of time.
Okay.
I'd like you to go ahead and give people your website again. And did you have any other things you wanted to cover or summarize on the Temple of the Red Lotus?
No, we pretty much covered it. So, you know, I'd be happy for people to come and see the website, www.templeredlotus.com. And, you know, visit the forums, check out the writings. Feel free to email me, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody about the Kadishtu path, about sacred sexuality, about any personal issues. You know, I am available.
Ah, great. Well, thanks for being part of the program tonight. It's been wonderful having you.
Yeah, it's been great to be here. Thank you.
And I know it's a late time for you on the East Coast, well, East time zone.
Yeah, it's almost 3:30 here, so I'm going to head to bed here.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you, Nora, and I'll be in touch.
Great. Thanks, Gigi. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
And now we're going to go to a music break, and I know that we've got some leather boys here.
I wouldn't use the term boys.
Oh, that's right. It's now daddies.
Oh.
Leather folk here.
So let's go to...
So we're going to go to the leather folks next, but Gigi will be back a little later.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Went too far. Shit. I think I recorded it in the middle of the song. Hold on a second. Can't you feel the change? Can't you? That's it.
People, all people, let's put hatred to an end.
David Guetta, and that was...
Guetta? Mm-hmm. Well, okay, Guetta. Gunta.
G-U-E-T-T-A.
Guetta.
Guetta.
Well, if he's Latin, I'm not sure. It's just a really cool song. I like the words. I like what they have to say, that we're all just the same. Doesn't matter what color you are, we all need to come together.
Peppy little tune for this time of the day.
Yeah. Evening. Well, I had to wake you up.
Good evening, Chris.
Hello.
Where'd Jimmy go? He's hiding outside, isn't he?
He's out sucking a fag.
Well, yeah. The kind that won't suck back. Good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties. I am Robert Tichy, a.k.a. Daddy Bear Robert, a.k.a. Cub 65. I'm here tonight with the Nomads, or at least one of the Nomads, because I think the rest of them are a little too cocktailed or slimed out in J-Lube to make it in here. please welcome Master Buzz Lawson.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. So, the Nomads, I wanted the Nomads in here, and I know it was a stretch to get you in here, because this is the Nomads' 5th anniversary run weekend.
That it is.
Started Friday evening at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and just has been nonstop since. It's been sick, twisted.
Well, that's, we warned you.
Y'all are demented. Please, tell us about some of the games we played this evening.
I believe the first game that got started was Whip a Balloon.
Yeah.
We had water balloons on a board, and we had handed people single tails and challenged them to, in 15 strokes, break all 5 of the water balloons.
Yeah, and whoever did in the least amount of strokes wins.
Right. And then we had Rope a Boy.
Now, okay, wait.
I'm getting there. I know where you're going.
No, I just thought it was really funny that we had all these leather people, and very few actually know how to use a single tail. and Elizabeth... from Whip Society, the Women in Power Society, she and Elizabeth and Eva were there, and Elizabeth was just phenomenal with that thing.
Six strokes to break all five balloons.
But the problem, she would have done it in 5 strokes, but she hit the balloon. I said, no, honey, pretend that he has no safe limit and he wants you to break the skin. Because right. That's the only way you can get the balloons pop. Because she kept hitting the balloon and it wouldn't pop. No, hit it harder.
I had the same problem when I was working with it.
Yeah.
Knocked one of them off the board without breaking it.
Who actually won that game? Was that
Elizabeth?
It was?
Yes, it was.
No, it was Eva.
No.
It was Elizabeth. Okay.
Yeah.
And she normally handles a dragon tail. She doesn't normally handle a single tail that
often. I thought she was going to bring her dragon tail, but I'm kind of thinking it was good that she didn't, because that's suede.
Yeah, that would have been really messy.
Right.
So I'm sorry, and so the next game after that?
The next game was Rope a Boy, where contestants were given approximately an 8-foot length of rope, and volunteer boys were gathered, and the challenge was to, with the one piece of rope, secure as many boys as you can within a minute and a half. And when that minute and a half was up, the boys got 5 seconds to struggle and try and get free. As many as did not get free, you got points for.
For all the ones that couldn't get out of it, you got points for those. And trust me, a minute and a half is not a long time to tie up 5 boys so that they can't get out of it. And these boys were just laughing. They were just like, could somebody please challenge us? You know, give us... We dare you to get us so we can.
Well, we've decided that
and
subs...
And Elizabeth did it.
Our boys...
Elizabeth finally did it.
Our boys,
she
we call them
though,
subs.
But it was good.
And we think of them as submissives, but we've learned to see them as subversives.
Yeah, we call them subversives now.
Don't challenge the boy to get free. He will.
Yeah, he will. Trust me, they're all Houdinis.
The next game was Violate the Vaginus.
This was a sick game, Chris. You'll like this. You really should have been there for this evening.
We had a piece
Violate the Vaginus.
Vaginus.
We had a ply board with a hole in it, surrounded with black carpeting, inside of which was a bag with J-Lube and a whole lot of little toys, each one designated with a certain number of points, and there was one that the person who drew that out was going to be the winner. We didn't tell anybody what that was.
Now, the entire bag is filled with J-Lube, and all these toys are floating in this J-Lube. It was disgusting.
Now, you keep saying J-Lube.
Oh, I'm sorry. J-Lube is a type of lubricant that more experienced players use because it does not dry out, it does not wash off, it does not go away. The only way you can get J-Lube off of you is with salt water.
So, and it comes in, it comes in a powder.
It comes in a powder form, and you have to mix the parts. Because some people like it thinner, some like it thicker and stringier, depending on what you're using it for. Say if you're using it for a fisting or something like that. So this stuff will not dry out. But again, the only way you can get this stuff off is a solution of salt water.
Jimmy.
That sounds like an event you need to hold down in Galveston so you just go right into the Gulf.
Right. Well, no. The best part was they actually had a kiddie pool that they filled with J-Lube.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, filled this kiddie pool, which, and it's a big, the kiddie pool's about the size of this room.
Yeah.
Filled it with J-Lube.
And we had lube wrestling.
And they had lube wrestling.
And this room is about, I don't know what, 8 by 12?
Yeah.
It was
one of those big blow-up kid pools that they filled with J-Lube, had lube wrestling, and then they bought a case of salt. And first, everybody gets out, and they just start opening a canister of salt and just dumping them on them, and then they scrub them down and hose them off to get all the J-Lube off.
Yeah, we had the lube pool and then the scrubbing station.
That was fun.
Felt like Lot's wife over there. Right. We turned them into pillars of salt and then rinsed them.
Yeah. Whew. Which is here earlier, God is a leather fact.
I'm sorry.
We can turn you into
We saw lightning while we were out in the outback at Mary's doing all of the games, and everybody said, well, look at this. We're looking at the satellite picture, and it looks like there's a storm headed this way. And I thought, it is not going to rain on our run. God is a leather fag.
So it worked.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then I left and went over to EJ's for the KPFT event.
Yes.
That was fantastically successful.
That was so much fun. So much fun.
Ginger. Oh, Lord. Gingivitis. I just can't get over it. Every time she gets on stage, she just trips you out.
Absolutely.
She commands the stage, and you have to like her. That's all there is to it. You got to like her.
Yeah. So to help pay for the ICOH float that they had, because ICOH was the organizational grand marshal this year.
Right.
She decided that if she
sold her pasties.
No, actually, if they could raise,
love you,
if
Ginger,
they could get $2,000, she would shave, and she did.
Yeah, that was scary.
She did.
I have never seen Ginger without face fur.
Me either.
And that was a trip when I saw Ginger tonight. I was like,
and she's growing it back.
Thankfully,
she is growing it back.
Because I mean.
It's not ginger.
It's not ginger without the fur.
Right.
It's like it's not Earthquake without the fur.
Yeah, that's right.
The face fur was the whole gag. It's camp drag.
Mm-hmm. So, well, as heavy as it normally is, it probably won't take him long to grow it.
Oh, yeah, because he's got really thick mustache.
Yeah.
So,
and he looks good in it too.
Yeah,
as a boy and as a girl.
Man.
As a boy, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a man.
Yeah, a male person. Yeah, male person.
Male or female, he looks good.
Yeah, his boyfriend calls him Mr. Man.
Even in heels, huh?
Even in heels, it's Mr. Man. So, hey.
Nomads.
Yes. Tell me about the Nomads.
Oh, you weren't listening earlier. You're going to have to just replay, because we're not going to go back over all the J-Lube stuff. And the
No, but tell Jim,
did you hear about the, what do you call it, the vagina, vagina, vaginka?
Vaginas?
It's a game. Mm-hmm. They had this big piece of plywood that they had cut in the shape of a female part.
Yes.
Covered it with black carpet.
Yes.
On the other side of it, they had this big bag filled with J-Lubes and tons of stuff in there. And you had to literally dig for it. And I mean, I was up to my elbow in J-Lube.
Like you haven't been up to your elbow before.
Well, true.
Right.
Yeah, true. I shared the videos with him, so.
he mentioned that if you
said,
pull those damn videos up one more time, your pictures are going out all over.
Honey, my pictures are already out.
No, I'm gonna put them where you're going to be embarrassed to see them. Yeah, I will buy a billboard and put you up there.
Let's see, Louis List, Debris List. Right there.
Honey, my pictures, you'll need a billboard to post it up there.
So, I'm sorry, back to the Nomads, why we're here tonight talking about the Nomads and their run and who the Nomads are and what the Nomads do. So, after we talked about the lube wrestling, the boys, tying up the boys, which the boys kept getting out just in less than, they had 5 seconds after you get one piece of rope,
mm-hmm.
tie up 5 boys.
Okay.
And then you got 1.5 minutes to tie up all of them.
Ooh.
And then they get 5 seconds to try to get out of it.
5 seconds?
It didn't take them.
It didn't take them 2 seconds.
In most cases,
you had to do it with one piece of rope.
One piece of rope, but you could get 2 or 3 of them. Could get 3. You'd always catch 1 or 2. Usually, it was the first one. But Elizabeth figured out how to tie them so they could not get free.
Leave it up to her.
Well, you know, everybody kept thinking, okay, tie both of their wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was like, no, I want one wrist from each of you. So she hog-tied them with one wrist and one leg, and they couldn't get away.
Ooh.
That was a brilliant move on her part. I said, look, you know, I can do bondage. I'm not good at it. I'm not really into that aspect of leather play, but... And I was telling Buzz, I said, is it cheating if I just go up and just thread the rope through all of their jeans and then tie a knot? And he goes,
that's cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating, but you get points for originality.
You get style points.
Yeah, you get style points, yeah.
You know, things like that are really good, though, because it brings out the imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. How to do things.
Everybody had their own way of tying.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, being a nomad, I wasn't actually eligible to win.
He still played.
Oh, yeah.
And tying up boys is fun.
I tied up all 6 of them and only one got free.
Ah, good for you. Good for you.
Elizabeth tied them all and they all stayed tied.
Well, the first time she and Jeff tag teamed, Jeff is with HPAP,
mm-hmm.
and Elizabeth Webbs.
Yeah.
They decided they were going to tag team together and then get all the boys done. And when they did that, I mean, the boys literally, when they called time, the boys, all they did was just take one step forward and they all just walked free. I don't know.
What the hell did they do?
I don't know. Whatever they did, it's like, okay, yeah, all you did was you just lay the rope on the shoulders and tell them to go, because, I mean, you didn't do anything.
We should say, mentioning HPEP, that HPEP stands for Houston People Exchanging Power.
Yes.
Incredible organization.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
They're going to be on.
Good.
Yeah.
It's been too long since they've been on.
Yeah, I've got them coming in.
You're going to give Jeff a microphone?
Yeah, but we have a mute button. We have a mute
there
button.
There we go. Sorry, Jeff.
Jeff might go way back. It's not a problem. The Nomads. Who are the Houston Nomads?
Houston Nomads are a traditional leather family. We're not necessarily a club or an organization. We're a family.
Oh.
But you basically have a board of directors kind of thing?
Not really.
Well...
Not really. The dominants make the rules, and the boys follow them.
Okay, and in your family dynamic, how many doms are in charge over how many others?
Well, basically, Daryl and I kind of take the lead. We have a couple of more junior doms, and the rest are subs. I have a slave Kirby, who you had on the show last.
Mm-hmm. With the Houston Leather Boys last month.
Yeah.
And I act as guardian master for another one of our boys.
Mm-hmm. Boy Joe, he was on that night also.
Yeah,
he's also a member of Houston Leather Boys.
And Master Daryl has slave Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have slave Diana,
mm-hmm.
who is slave to Master Ken.
Right.
Who very rarely comes out. We don't see him out in public a lot. He's got other things going, and we let that be as it is.
Mm.
There are actually 9 of us all together. Our newest member was just awarded his vest yesterday, his first leather vest. He was presented that at the 611 in the early part of the run.
How nice.
Steve-O or John?
John.
John.
Yep, he's had his colors for a while. He just hadn't earned a vest.
He hadn't earned.
Oh. What do you have to do to earn a vest?
That works differently for different people, but the way we look at it is when you have shown that a part of you, a part of who you are as a person, is worthy of the hide,
mm-hmm.
then it is presented. Like, if your head is in the right place, you get leather to cover your head. If your heart is in the right place, you get a vest that goes over your heart.
Okay.
It's a matter of earning it. And
I see that.
That's basically a matter of learning and honoring and being ready to mentor and share the traditions of true leather. And I'm not talking leather sex. That's a completely different issue.
Yeah.
This isn't about the BDSM play. This is about how we live our lives.
And the rules that we live our lives.
Yeah.
It is a very structured life.
Age old.
As much as it sounds intimidating, we get, Kirby and I are out a lot. You see us out
sure.
all the time. And you see us laughing.
Well, yeah, you see him, Kirby, Boy James is out a lot.
And
Boy Joe. Boy Joe's out a lot.
Oh, yeah.
People and think that because we are leather, we're supposed to always be serious with grimaces on our faces. No. This is a very full and fulfilling life.
I've been out with them. I ran into y'all over at, I think, 611 or at the Ripcord one time. No, I think it was at the Ripcord the first time it happened. And some twink came in and walked right up to them after watching for a few minutes. He ordered a cocktail and then he walked right up to Buzz and Kirby and said, "Y'all are having too much fun. Leather people aren't supposed to laugh and have a good time. You're not real leather. You're laughing and having a good time."
It is because we choose this structured life.
It's
we're
like
supposed to
put down the drummer magazine and come out more.
Exactly. It doesn't make us less human.
No.
I think it actually it celebrates the spirituality of being human. Yes, we laugh. Of course we laugh. We're humans. We have a sense of humor.
You laugh, you cry, you get mad just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And because we are a family, we laugh, we cry, and we do it together. If any one of us has a problem, the problem belongs to the family.
Mm-hmm.
We all belong to one another. And it's a different dynamic than what we call the vanilla dynamic.
Sure.
Our relationships come to 50-50. They come to equality through inequity. There is a master and a slave. Now, that sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it?
It does, on the outside.
A master isn't a master without his slave.
True.
A slave isn't a slave without his master.
Okay.
We come together fulfilling one another. And so, yes, there is an equality there, but we get there through inequality.
And to get to that point, there has to be a lot of conversation going.
We call it negotiation.
Yes, and I find that because of that, it makes for a much stronger relationship.
Yes.
I've had a leather segment on now for 15 years, and I've learned a lot in my vanilla life about
Jimmy
making
vanilla.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I was slapping some nuts here last weekend, you know. But hey,
yeah, with your chin.
No, with my hand.
You started with the backhand and then the chin.
Yeah. Well, this guy liked it. So anyway, enough. But in my own personal relationship, it was made stronger because of what I learned about the leather community, about negotiation, about talking, about
the really, honesty.
The honesty, exactly.
You've
got to
be brutally
honest.
That
most vanilla couples never have.
No, they don't.
They don't. They don't.
Well, it's a matter of when you walk into one of these relationships, you don't just walk in because, ooh, you look good, let me call you boyfriend.
No, it doesn't happen that way.
Before that caller goes on, there's a lot of negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, from my point of view, I want to know what experience you already have, what you are willing to experiment with. I want to know everything there is to know about you. I want to get into your head and your heart before I wrap a collar around your neck.
Because but why?
If I'm going to own you, you have no choice after that. After negotiating that and agreeing to that, I own you, which means you have no say.
Right.
My decision is the last decision.
And why do you need to know that much?
Because when I own you, when I take possession of you, I also take responsibility for maintaining that possession.
And maintaining the possession, the sub, the slave, means what?
I am responsible for my slave's health, safety, security, and emotional well-being. Those are my responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
His responsibility is to do as he's told.
Okay.
And you can't be responsible for those things if you don't have
exactly
the information to do it with. So basically, you want to know all of this because that is how you know you're going to be able to fulfill them and make them happy.
Which also means not every slave can be with just any master.
No.
No. No.
There has to be compatibility there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real common misnomer as well. I've had several walk up to me and say, "Hi, would you be my master?"
Mm-hmm.
That you have no idea what you're asking me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell this. This is good.
I heard these before. These are.
I was standing at the ripcord talking with Mikey behind the bar. I'm in full dress leather, talking with Mikey. This kid walks up with his hands behind his back, head lowered.
Just
stood there. I keep going with my conversation. Finally, I get tired of this, like, pillar of flesh standing next to me. I looked over at him and I said, "Is there something I can do for you?" He said, "Would you be my master?" And I said, "Do you have any idea what you're asking of me?" And he says, "Yes, I think I do, sir." I says, "Excellent. You know that if I give you any order, you are not permitted to disobey that order. I give you an order, you obey it without question or complaint." He says, "I know, sir." I said, "Fine. Pee your pants."
Ooh.
He turned around and walked away, and I've never seen him since.
He goes, "What?" And then turned around and walked away.
That's the whole dynamic of master and slave. If I give my slave an order, a direct order, he is not permitted to disobey or refuse to obey.
Okay. What if he can't obey?
It's my responsibility to give him orders that he is able to comply with.
Okay.
Now, if I give him an order that he's unable to comply with, he is to at least make the attempt.
Ah. Okay.
Don't listen to that, Kirby.
And the archive that you can use for later evidence against is that.
Well, it is. That's one way of testing the ability or the will to obey. Is that they're willing to obey an order they know that they're not going to accomplish.
Yes.
But you're also never going to get to that point without a lot of negotiation, some brutal honesty, conversation after conversation after talking after talking. That's why you see a lot of Dom's order. They make their subs have a journal.
Yeah.
And it is to write down their thoughts and feelings. And that journal is turned over to the Dom for him to read.
Okay.
Because it's a way for him to get inside your head and things he may not be able to say to your face, but he can write it on paper and you can read it.
Okay.
And then that helps you better understand him. Okay. So when you come back as the Dom, you can make sure that you're fulfilling him the way he needs it.
The extremes of this life will open up for you and actually force you to face your deepest, darkest, most secret self. And
that's scary.
In doing that, there can be emotional
issues.
There can be emotional issues that you're not even aware you have, which is why it is important that communication be gut level, honest, and consistent.
You see, and not everybody can do that. I mean, it takes a lot to bare your soul to another person.
A lifetime.
Especially for men, because we're talking vulnerability.
Well, men are also brought up and taught to bury all of that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you're taught.
Even us men, gay boys.
Yeah,
you know,
we're all raised the same way.
Yes,
men don't cry.
That's
men
right.
Don't do this.
That's right.
You don't. And it's like trying to get over that pre-programming when you were a child and say, you know, men do cry because we're human beings and we hurt just like anybody else.
Sure.
You know, I have needs. You have needs. Let's see
if they fit.
They fit. Physical, mental, emotional.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole negotiation process is.
The human psyche is very delicate. In leather, we probe our own as well as our partner's psyche so that we are in each other's head. Kirby's in mine. I know I'm in his.
Okay.
24/7. I mean, there are people who will.
No, he
play
creeps
this.
Me out. Kirby creeps me out sometimes. We'll be out at a leather event or just out at a Saturday night, like supporting one of the clubs when they're like bartending or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to the point where he doesn't even have to say anything. Kirby already knows and just goes and does it and comes back and Buzz is like, Oh, good, thank you. Because I was about to ask you to do that. Well, I know, sir, I already did it. It's done.
Wow.
Yeah, it becomes second nature.
Because you get to know your partner well enough that you can anticipate what they need and what they want and when they're going to need it, and you do it, whether you're the dom or the sub. But you can't have that if you don't talk.
Okay. When you're communicating that well and that intensely, most of it just it melts together and becomes part of who you are. Is it Kirby anticipates the need because that need has been there so many times that
he already knows in a certain situation, a certain condition, he'll see
a look on my face or a change in the tone of my voice and know exactly what signal that sends him.
Wow. But that's closeness.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't willing to risk that kind of emotional bloodletting to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the vanilla world. No, it's all about playing games. Who has the shiniest car? Who has the iPhone? Who's got the newest computer?
Oh, the newest cologne.
Yeah, who's got... Oh, God.
I went there. Nice cologne, honey, but please, you don't have to marinate in it.
Yeah. But again, that's the bad part with the cologne. You see these, like, Axe commercials. What is this guy doing? Hosing himself down with this crap. They've got these little pocket things so you can spray yourself while you're out. Well, number one, if it's quality scent, mm-hmm. you don't need it.
No.
You don't need to keep reapplying, because if you're having to reapply, it's going stale, and 10 to 1 you smell like raw onions by the end of the night. Not good.
Well, we can go off on the big tangent about this, because a lot of it has to do with our youth today, who is so afraid of being nude, even in the locker room,
that
they don't shower after sports. They spray themselves with cologne after, you know.
Oh, my God, that's so, like, French.
Yeah, isn't it?
Okay, do you know where cologne came from?
Uh-huh.
The first cologne was made in Cologne, Germany, mm-hmm. and it was formulated and made for Napoleon.
Really?
Who bathed once a year.
That's most people did in those days. That was it.
He was known to wear 4 bottles of cologne a day.
Oh, God.
I don't want to smell cologne.
No.
Now, you know where the term "you smell like a French whore" comes from.
Now, I don't mind if somebody smells like soap and water.
That's right. That's a clean smell.
Well, I mean, even if it's, I don't mind cologne if it's not a foofy, fruity, musky smell. I mean, if it's just a nice, clean smell.
I'd rather smell
and I don't
the
want
natural scent of a male.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But if you have to wear cologne, I mean, don't go pick something that makes you smell like your mother in an hour.
Well, and here's a hint. If your parents or your older brother or sister did not teach you how to wear it, when you put it on, if you can smell it, you're wearing too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a good cologne on the right person, it doesn't smell like cologne. It doesn't smell like you saturated your body with a false scent. It blends with your chemistry, and it just enhances your own scent.
There you go.
I would rather smell the smell of leather myself.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I mean, you know what I call cologne? Leather oil, the Blackhawk sells.
Okay?
If I could, I would, like, figure out a way to market that stuff, get leather soap, leather deodorant, leather.
And well, I mean, after all, what is more primal than stripping the hide off of an animal and wearing it as clothes?
There you go.
And we do eat the meat, so.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Eat the meat, wear the hide.
Yeah, I never understood that with the leather fascination until a couple of years ago. I went down to Eros mm-hmm. in Pasadena, mm-hmm. and they've got the one room with all the leather gear.
And you walk in that room, your balls just tingle.
I walked in there, and I think I even said it out loud. I go, I understand.
Yeah.
It was just a realization of how much that...
The scent.
The effect. Scent just goes...
It's very primal.
I understand it all now.
Yeah.
Somebody's ringing.
That's not me ringing.
No. Somebody just sent me a text message.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
I see.
So, I think...
Now,
can I be opening up the phone and seeing who it is and what they want?
Yeah, you were just talking about earning a leather vest.
Yes.
I have a leather vest, but for me, it's more of a fashion statement, because I wear pins on it for ICOH and other organizations.
Different run pins, club pins, friendship pins, things like that.
So how do you differentiate between the people who have earned a leather vest and people who just wear it as a fashion statement?
Kirby, I'm going to get you for that one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we were talking about that this morning during, or this afternoon at the at the Nomads run that I was at, when we were talking about John earning his vest.
Right.
And I made the comment as I was putting my Nomads run pin into my vest.
Yeah, because I don't want to insult anybody because I wear a leather vest. And
No,
you're not insulting anyone.
You're not trying to pass yourself off as something you're not.
Oh no.
Now, putting on a leather vest and going to the local leather store, buying yourself a leather vest, putting it on, and parading around as I am the new Mr. Daddy Man, that's going to insult people.
Okay.
When you put on your leather vest, Jimmy, I've seen you in your vest.
Yeah.
I've known you for years.
Yeah.
I like the way you look in a vest.
Thank you.
I don't consider you to be a leather man.
No.
But because you do spend so much time around leather people.
You respect the culture.
I do.
And you don't, so we respect the fact that when you wear it, you're not a pretender.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not wearing it as a pretense. You're wearing it out of respect for us.
I am.
Yeah.
I really am.
Quick side note, for anybody who's listening, don't go to a leather shop and buy a vest and a harness and a collar and a daddy cap and try to wear them.
Oh.
Because you're sending way too many messages. that little master's cap says that you're a dom. That little collar around your neck says you're a slave. Make up your mind.
Exactly.
If you don't know what it means, don't wear it.
Yeah.
Find out what you're putting on your body.
Yeah.
Before you go out and wear it.
Don't dress from the top of your head all the way to your ankles in leather and then wear tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. No, my personal favorite actually is when that one came out wearing chaps, harness, vest, collar, leather cowboy hat, and flip-flops.
Oh, no. I wouldn't, no.
If you're going to put on leather, put leather on your feet, too. And the leather that's on your head.
Well, they say my feet are rough as leather. I could just go barefoot then.
If we want to go all the way back to the traditions, there is a type of cap for a dominant or a master to wear, and there is a type of cap for a sub slave boy to wear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. A leather ball cap is a boy cap.
Okay.
That is a traditional signifier for a submissive.
Okay.
It's a leather ball cap.
The one that looks like a military officer's cap is a master's cap.
Yeah. Now, like a motorcycle.
This is what, and when you wear the right thing, you're sending the right signal. If you're wearing a collar, you're saying you're a slave.
I would never.
If you're wearing a master's cap.
And a collar. You're saying I'm an idiot.
Exactly.
Now, I've learned some of the basics with the leather culture. I was at the Ripcord with my group, and there was a guy that was there who had the collar with a padlock on it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he was flirting with a guy. And I knew enough of what that signified, and all I did is I kept reaching over to him and flipping that padlock.
And he allowed you?
Well, see, what he told me later, I explained to him, he said that he had permission, his master was away, he had permission to play, but he did appreciate the fact that I was reminding him.
Yeah, that he was collared and he needs to respect his dom in public.
Okay, just so that you know, and I'll put this out, knowing that we are on the air and that there may be a few people out there listening. When you see someone wearing a chain with a padlock on it,
it's not a pretty necklace.
It's not a necklace. And look with your eyes, don't look with your hands. That collar doesn't belong to that slave. Mm-hmm. That collar belongs to the slave's master.
Mm-hmm.
And it is considered sacrilege to touch that collar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't mention that
you
part.
You never touch a collar.
Okay. Yeah, you
that
never.
That is a big point for disrespect.
People reach for Kirby's all the time. They want to paw at it. They want, oh, look,
pretty necklace. No, it's not.
And he'll take your hand off.
Yeah.
Wow.
You never touch a collar, and if you see a collar, you treat that person with respect because you know that that person is attached, is owned, has a dom.
Yeah.
I didn't know the second part about that. I did understand the fact that he was attached to someone, and it was like, you know.
I have a very I know who you're talking about, but still, if you're going to play like that and you have standing permission from your dom, don't be that blatant.
Yeah, in public.
In public, be more discreet with the way you play if you have permission, because people who see you have a collar, they know who your daddy is, or your dom is, or your master is.
Some of the most important...
They don't know your private family protocol. Be more discreet in the public.
Yeah.
I mean, because anything you do is going to reflect badly on him, on your sir.
Some of the most important values in leather culture have, over the years, gotten lost. One of those is, first, a sense of responsibility. Personal responsibility. What you do, you are responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our relationship, what Kirby does, I'm responsible for.
And what Kirby does reflects on him.
Everything that he says or does reflects on me, because he is my representative out in the community. Another thing that is lost is the sense of dignity. We have become undignified. I mean, okay, there are those who like to be what I call leather sluts.
Mm.
They go out to the bar, they put on a vest, because they're looking, they're trolling around for the next trick.
They want BDSM, they want leather sex.
That is not what leather as a culture is about. We're about dignity, pride, honor, respect. The Houston Nomads, our creed is respect, honor, family.
That's on their patch. On their colors.
Says it on our colors.
Okay.
Hold on. I have to step in one moment here because we have a different master we have to deal with. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Now we satisfied the FCCing FCC.
F-U-C-C. The FCC.
Yes.
I didn't say it. And I didn't even spell it out. It was an acronym.
Yeah.
You fill in what you want to fill in.
There you go.
French underwear can crimp. I mean, you know, F-U-C-C. It could be anything. Okay, no, I want to go back to the actual name of the Houston Nomads.
Because how did that come about?
Well, recently, I know a lot of people... Well, not a lot. There's been a couple of people saying, you can't call yourselves nomads because the nomads are a real biker club on the West Coast, blah, 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 blah. If they knew what you were doing. So.
Oh, I actually had somebody threaten to call the California Nomads, which are a biker gang, and turn us in for using their name, and that they were going to come from California and kill us all.
Yeah, all these big straight bikers are going to come in and kill you.
And all I had to say was, you know, you can go ahead and do that. We've already made the call. We placed the call before we chose the name.
Ah.
Now, how the name the Nomads came about, a majority of our members...
The Traveling Wilburys was already taken. And you know, Tom Petty ain't going to give up the rights on that.
No.
Many of our original members were members also of the House of Heyway.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the House of Heyway.
I remember hearing about it, yes.
After the fall of the House of Heyway, the members of the House of Heyway, who were leather people, had already congregated and formed something of a family within that house. When that house fell, they weren't going to scatter to the four winds the way the rest did. They stayed together.
Okay.
And because the warehouse closed,
yes,
there was no home.
Right.
So they became nomadic.
Oh.
And I actually joined the group shortly after the debut of the colors.
Mm-hmm.
I was there the night the colors were debuted and subsequently stolen. Our colors were kidnapped the very night we debuted them on the patio at Mary's and toured the country without us.
You're kidding.
There are signatures all over the back of the colors that hang in our case at the 611.
Yes.
Inside that frame.
It toured across
on the back,
the country.
It toured. Our colors toured the country.
And then they came
sent
home.
They sent us pictures of our colors in the various cities.
Oh, my goodness.
Our colors have been places that I haven't been.
I thought maybe they held them for ransom and you had to raise money for
they did.
You know, for charity
yep,
and all
did.
That to get oh they did.
Yes. We had to raise a certain amount of money. I can't remember now. That was 5 years ago.
Oh, you had to bring up the ransom game. Well, I thought that we finally killed that game. No. Now you had to bring it back and put it back
sorry.
In people's minds.
Sorry.
The ransom game is a good way to raise money.
It is a good way to raise money. And that's the other thing I like about the leather community, that they're there pitching in, raising money lots of times for whatever charity needs it, whatever family member needs it, what other families member needs it for whatever reason. Usually, you know, death or bills or hospitalization or something. You see the leather community come together for things like this.
Right. The one thing that I will mention, because there have been questions about it, and it's something that we feel is important for people to know, we are not a fundraising organization.
Right. It's a social.
Yeah, we're a family.
Yeah.
Now, each of our members individually attend other functions that are designed to raise money, mm-hmm. and yes, we'll put our energies into that, but that is not what our focus as a family is. So, just to clear that up, everyone.
No, but if somebody, if something happens in another leather family, mm-hmm. you will be there to help raise money or do something for that. I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah.
When I did my stint in Assage, I spent an entire year doing 3 to 5 shows a week.
Yes.
Because raising those funds, and the leather community, the gay community, especially leather people, tend to pull together and raise hundreds and hundreds of yeah. thousands of dollars for various causes.
Yes.
And it's difficult to pick a cause, but it's kind of a good thing to do that.
It
pick a cause
thing.
And stick with it.
Yeah. It is a good thing. And as a community, we don't get a lot of outside money, so we really have to support our own.
Exactly. The mainstream ignores us
yeah.
for the most part.
Yeah.
And especially with our current administration, I know that AIDS funding was just with, I think 2 years ago, our illustrious president cut AIDS funding by 1/3.
Yes.
So he could buy one tank.
Yeah. Right.
And as a result...
And they keep talking about, oh, we can't put any more money into AIDS funding. You're spending billions a day for
yeah,
a war
what, like
that nobody wants to be in, and you're quibbling over a couple of $100 million.
Now, right. I like what Eddie Izzard said. What we ought to do, Eddie Izzard, English comedian.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Dressed to Kill?
His? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've
when
got
he
that
says,
on tape.
Okay,
it's wonderful.
They don't want gays in the military, and I don't see why they shouldn't, because what they ought to do is come up with the first transsexual or transvestite paratrooper brigade, because what would be more shocking and surprising to see a bunch of drag queens parachute down into the desert, and they go, what's with the guys with the dresses? Oh, my God, they've got guns. They've got guns. Now, talk about a surprise attack.
Yes. Okay?
And honestly, have you ever seen anything meaner than a PO drag queen?
No. No, no,
I think
no.
The scariest part is when you look up and see what's under the dress.
Yeah. I mean, because it takes balls to wear a dress in public. So you don't want to see a drag queen with a gun.
No. No. Definitely not. Because she's already packing something else.
Those heels can be pretty deadly.
Yeah. Yeah, if the gun doesn't get you, then the Ethel Merman routine will.
Okay. Yeah. Something else that I'd like to bring up while we're talking about drag is that Houston seems almost unique in the country because the leather and the drag communities work together.
Yes.
And I've had guests from out of town that have just marveled about that, because they wish their city would do that, something like that. And for me, it's like, this is what I've always known. I can't even imagine people not working together.
But
we're all on the same side. Hello?
But I also think that's kind of been a little bit of a detriment to both the leather and the other communities, because they are blending so much that a lot of respect is being lost.
Oh, you think so?
Again, when you get a bunch of drags, and I love the drag community,
mm-hmm.
And
you have crossover, honey.
But between the courts and everything else, when they throw on some leather and come out to the ripcord and play leather.
Oh, no. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no. The way we work together is brilliant, but I think the lines are kind of blurring. They don't really understand our lifestyle. They just kind of accept that the fact that we're the scary leather people that beat each other up for fun.
We're the people who look fascinatingly dangerous.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
But, you too. I mean, we take the time to learn other subcultures and learn what they're about so we can respect them. We would like the same in return.
Okay.
Learn about leather, what it stands for, what a leather lifestyle is. Learn the basic public protocols. So you don't insult us, and we're not offended by you. Just like we've taken the time to learn your lingo and your culture, your subculture, whether it's the drag or whatever it is.
Yeah, preppy, whatever.
Yeah, well, please.
Brotherly
we're man. All. Everybody here is old enough. We actually were the original preppies, the original circuit boys, the original club kids.
Oh, no. I was never a twink even when I was the age of twinks.
They didn't even have Twinkies back then. They were they have like ding-dongs and popsicle sticks.
Stop. I'm the world's oldest twink.
Yeah, but you look good, Jim.
And Kirby, I know what you're thinking. No, we did not ride to school on dinosaurs.
No.
Well, I did want to jump in here.
Yes,
Gigi's
here.
Leather paratrooper. I mean, drag queen.
Drag queen paratroopers.
I was just got this vision of Miss Gigi in her leather fairy outfit, diving down in a parachute.
No, I would love to see.
Oh, you wouldn't need a parachute.
I want to get Gingivitis and Gigi and a bunch of others and just get them in these gorgeous evening gowns, pack on the fake boobs, get the big false sparkly eyelashes, the wigs from hell, get them all down, throw them off an airplane, and when they land, put on a show, and everybody will freak out and die.
Yeah.
Well, and then the war will be over, and then we can get our funding back for AIDS research.
I love having Gigi on the air, because Gigi is probably the most androgynous person I have ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And often comes to the show in a leather skirt and combat boots. And
yeah.
And
but Gigi also is very leather, because Gigi understands the leather lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Gigi knows protocols and lives by the majority of the protocols. Now, in Gigi's personal household, Gigi takes the leather protocols and adapts them for that household.
Yes.
We all do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But there's always respect there.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Definitely. And one of the things I also have to throw in here.
Please do.
Being hermaphrodite has given me a flexibility to go into so many different communities, because I fit nowhere in our society. So I have to blend in somewhere.
True.
And I think that there's a lesson to be learned from this. You're talking about respect. I think what's really important is that we do learn to respect
but we
each other's lifestyles.
Yeah.
We can't do that unless we educate each other.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
More importantly, educate ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have respect for yourself, it's not going to emanate from you.
Right.
If you don't have respect for yourself, you're not going to get any from anyone else. I'm really irritated with people who walk up to you and say, you need to respect me. And I said,
no.
Give me a reason.
If you have to ask for it, go home, look in the mirror, and learn to respect yourself first.
Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street.
Well, it starts with you.
And it's earned.
Well, you got to earn it from yourself just by looking in the mirror every day.
Mm-hmm. I have described leather as a culture to several people, and I will stand by this until the day I die. I've been in the leather community since I was about 18. And I'm now 51 as of yesterday.
So last month when I announced his birthday, I get all that flack and all that hell from him.
Oh, and I came so near killing you for announcing my birthday on the air. Leather is a journey. It's not a journey anywhere outside.
It's a journey into yourself.
Leather is a journey into you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who you are. The deepest, darkest, most dusty, dark, secret corners of you.
Sweep them out and own it. It's you.
Leather is a journey into that. And as you're discovering yourself, you are actually accepting yourself. When you have accepted yourself, you pave the way for other people to accept and therefore respect you.
You're asking a lot.
Yes.
Well, it's, yeah, but also keep in mind, it is a leather journey. It takes a lifetime. It's never ending.
Yeah.
So.
And I've learned that I can read all of the leather handbooks that were ever written,
mm-hmm.
but until, for example, I attended my first dungeon to see it live.
Play live.
It's, you can read all the books you want, but until you see it live and experience it from that, you have no idea.
You don't get it.
No. Mm-hmm.
And what people don't understand is that those dungeons and those play parties mm-hmm. do not represent what leather as a culture is.
That's true. That represents an aspect of it, our yes. play aspect.
That's a play aspect. I understand that.
That would be assuming that walking into your house, walking directly into your bedroom is what you are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that there's a kitchen there.
Yeah, but with Jimmy, it
or a living room, or a bathroom. Walking into those play parties is walking into the boudoir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where you play sexually.
Yeah.
We are more than sexual creatures. Sex is actually only about 10% of who we are as people.
Well,
and if that 10% rules who you are, you're robbing the rest of us of the other 90.
But I think that also the big problem with that is media, public,
sure.
TV, movies, porno, you're inundated with sex.
Well, the other thing of it is, even today, even, you know, in TV shows, whenever they're talking about S&M, it's never portrayed in a positive light.
And they always say it just like you did, S&M. It's yeah. not S&M. There's no and in there.
S&M is stand-in
model. SM, sadism, masochism.
Okay.
So when you say SM, I can get you one of those little M&M t-shirts.
That's so cute.
You see, the education is never ending.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
So you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Well, no, I actually challenged that one time, and I said, no, it could be S and M, because it could be sadism and masochism. And they're like, well, no, it can't. Why can't it?
Well,
you're a sadist, or you're a masochist, or you could be both. And if you say, I'm S, or I am M, or I'm S and M, well, then I'm S and M.
S and M would be autoeroticism.
Yeah, that's fun, too. You know,
stop! I'm so confused.
Honestly,
going to a dungeon scene, mm-hmm. or going to a play party with a DM, a dungeon master, and seeing a play party, yeah, it's fascinating. You finally... Everything you read and see, when you see it live and how it's done and what these people are getting out of it, what the top is getting out of it, what the bottom is getting out of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
But, like he said, that's this much of our life. If you want to understand the true leather lifestyle, find a leather couple who's willing to let you, move in with them for a week and see literally how they live day to day and how mm-hmm. those protocols and how they live their lives day to day. And how the respect and love is given and shared. And
watch the difference, and it's almost seamless with Kirby. Watch the difference between household protocol
and public protocol.
And public protocol. We have at least three different protocols. One is our at-home protocol.
Mm-hmm. Which is
the other is public protocol. And then there's high protocol. We go to a formal leather event, Kirby will not speak until he's given permission to. And he is never out of proper position. And I don't have to say, okay, we're in eye protocol now. He knows by the tone of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, he would know, even if you weren't dressed properly, if you accidentally walked into an event that you didn't know was going on, but it was high leather protocol.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how you're dressed, it's who you are and how you act and how you present yourself. That's the realism. That's the life.
Wow.
But... I mean, we talk about all these different protocols, and it sounds real scary and confusing, but it's really not. There's some basic ways we live our lives, and that's what we call our protocols. Personal protocols at home usually are more relaxed.
Sure.
Because it's just you. When you go out in public, there's a certain way that you need to present yourself in public
mm-hmm.
that commands respect for you, and the way that your sub respects those protocols and follows those protocols, that sub is silently commanding respect for you, Therefore, he is receiving the respect as well, because he is as silently, he never has to go out and say a word. But the way he acts, the way he stands, and the things that he does for his dom shows that respect to him, which shows respect that everybody else has respect for that boy, because they see that he knows what he's doing, mm-hmm. and he's taking care of his dom because his dom is taking care of him. So, I mean, it sounds real confusing that we've got home, you know, private protocol, public protocol, high protocol, but it's really all the same thing. It's just the degrees on how you observe it and practice it, depending on the situation.
Well, it's just the set of rules that you put together, and you know, you have those informal rules you do in all society, and it's just unwritten, it's untested, you know, and it has that wiggle room to it. It's just a matter of two people deciding this is how we want to structure our lives in every basis. So it's, I mean, looking at it from the outside in.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know, the history of protocol came...
Wait, let him finish his question. No, let him finish his statement.
That's what I can see with it. Is, you know, it's not really that different. It's just the fact that you're willing...
Jimmy.
It's Jimmy.
That's not my body jewelry doing that.
But no, it's the...
Oh,
I mean,
sorry.
It's just those normal...
Outdoor boys. Bad, Robert.
Yes, Chris.
But no, it's you know... We have those sets of rules that you're given, that you grow up with, you learn, you know. But there's just a structure that's put into place, and it sounds scary when you say the protocol, but when you realize that everyone has those type of rules, and it's just finally someone saying, this is what we're going to go with.
This is what we're going to go with, and if we all follow these basic protocols in our lives, then we all will be able to get along, because we respect what we're doing and what we respect each other for what we are doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me boil that down to the bottom line for you.
Well, thank you.
It's called learned behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In mainstream society, yes, we all have rules that we follow.
Yes.
And you think that you didn't learn them, but you did. You were taught those things.
Yeah.
And they became second nature, whether they were written down or they weren't.
When you go to school, you have rules.
It's the same in leather culture. In leather culture, all these things are taught. They're not written down. They're taught and sent from one generation, passed down to the next, to the next, to the next. They call it mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
We mentor the next generation of leather people, and we pass these protocols down that way. So it is learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to jump in here and say a little bit of the history of protocol and where it came from. Originally, the leather community in the 50s was biker.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be very secret. And so protocol developed to protect the leather community.
The leather bikers, the gay bikers.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain why it is so structured. The leather community, the leather culture as we know it, evolved out of the motorcycle soldiers who came back from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Straight or gay, they formed clubs, motorcycle mm-hmm. clubs. And the hierarchy and the protocols were basically founded in military protocol.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So what you're dealing with leather culture is you're dealing with people who celebrate the wearing of leather. Whether we ride motorcycles or we don't, our leather culture still relies basically on military protocols.
They have evolved.
Yeah. But they've been modified and have evolved since then. But
to more streamlined to an actual leather lifestyle and the BDSM way we play. But yeah, that's where it comes from.
And we blend those with the culture of the ancient Roman owner-slave, master-owner-slave property.
That's where the collar comes from.
The collar is just a modification of the iron collar worn by Roman slaves.
That's where the harness comes from. That is slave wear from the ancient times.
I didn't know that.
That's what the harness signifies. Okay. A sub wears a harness. It was because back then, in the ancient times, slaves wore those. It was a body harness, like a collar, but it was for their body so they could be controlled.
Wow.
And that's where a lot of this leather gear comes from, and the way it's worn comes out of all these old traditions going back to ancient Greece, ancient Rome. And we've just
only subs wear the harness?
Nowadays, no, anybody does.
Okay.
It's pretty much become a fashion statement.
No. Originally, yes, the harness was only worn by slaves. Mm-hmm. We didn't call them boys then.
No.
Boy was what you said when you wanted your slave's attention.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't his title. His title was slave.
Yeah.
Only slaves wore harnesses, and interestingly enough, and a lot of people don't know this, slaves were not permitted to wear black leather.
No.
Oh.
Slaves were relegated to wearing leather
brown.
That was brown.
Slaves were not allowed to wear black leather. They had to wear brown. So a leather sub was not allowed to wear black leather. That was only for a dom.
Wow. When did this change?
It slowly changed, 70s.
Late 70s, 80s.
Oh, okay. No, I had no idea about that.
Well, I think the reason it changed was with the advent of the Stonewall Rise. Putting the subs in black leather gave a more uniformed look to a couple, so they started kind of relaxing on it.
That's when leather began to evolve into a costume.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it helps to talk a little bit about the history because it gives some foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This stuff wasn't just made up out of the blue.
This stuff goes all the way back to ancient Greece and ancient Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the military protocols and...
The protocols that we have are based on current modern military protocols as far as the gear that we wear. Some of it is stuff we have made up. Some of it comes from the military organization, like the master's cap,
yeah.
Cover, the boy cover, collars, harnesses, things like that. Even chaps go back to ancient Greece and ancient Rome. I mean, that kind of gear, we just took it from ancient history and brought it into the 20th century.
Wow.
Unfortunately, because we are seen now as... I get this when I'm in leather on my way to an event. Invariably, someone will drive by and go, "Oh, look, it's the village people."
Oh, brother.
Because leather is now seen by so many as a costume.
Yes.
But what do you get when you get covers of Twinkie porn magazines where they're wearing leather because it makes a pretty photo set?
Yeah, and they're wearing a master's cap, a collar, and a harness.
Yeah, there we go.
It's like, that is a costume.
Between all of the... And I'm not knocking porn. I love this stuff personally.
It's
great to watch. But the porn actors are not necessarily leather, but it looks good on film.
Not even the producers or directors are leather because they would know better.
There are certain porn companies...
I find them insulting.
There are certain porn companies that actually produce real leather with real leather men. But the majority of it is people paid to put on leather and have sex.
Yeah.
Because it looks hot and sexy on film. But they have no clue what it means or what the life is about. And most of those videos, interestingly enough, have nothing to do with BDSM play. It's just...
Yeah, that's right. It's just regular vanilla sex.
Yeah.
But with people wearing leather.
Yeah, but for people like us, vanilla sex is like really kinky. I've had guys come up to me, and I've had boys come up to me, and well, what's the kinkiest thing you've ever done? I said, vanilla sex. The old S&F, you know? it just blows my mind. It's so kinky. I mean, people still do that. And then I think about, that's actually kind of hot.
Yeah, we sure do.
It never goes out of style.
No, it doesn't. And you never get too old for it either. As I'm finding out.
Now, can we do one thing?
Yeah, he's bitching about being 51.
I didn't say I was bitching about it.
He didn't bitch, no.
My next birthday, I get to join Spry.
Cool.
Spry.
Hi, Brian Kiever.
Hi, Brian.
I saw Brian at the
611.
Disco Kroger the other day, and I was like, and he just, I walked up behind him and I said, "Hi, Brian." I mean, he jumped right out of his skin. But I tell you, that boy he was with, woof.
Oh.
Yeah. If that kid was leather, if he isn't leather, he's going to be soon.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, that's just my personal fantasy.
Gotcha.
It's just a fantasy, okay?
You watch entirely too much porn.
Why don't we take a break here?
Yeah, I was going to say, before Kirby completely falls asleep, I brought Tarkin. Since we have the Nomads on tonight, I wanted some nomadic music. So Tarkin, he is from Turkey. This is his fourth album.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first English-speaking album. So I was playing this in my truck the other day, and Kirby was like, damn, this is good. And I said, okay, since the Nomads are going to be on, I'm going to play some nomadic music from a guy from Turkey.
Gotcha.
And go look at his picture, Jimmy. The dude is fine.
Is he?
Yeah.
Baby, I know one thing. baby, just like that. Tonight, you keep up the game. I know you're so lost, and you can't hide. Cause I see we're the same, and I know what it costs after one night. I don't even know his name. Baby, I know one thing. Just like that. Used to be the one I'd never waited for. Till 6 o'clock to come. I was on the door before she knew my name. My number on my game. I knew that I was done. But that's before I let you. Just like that.
Tarkan.
That was Tarkan.
That was hot.
Yeah, I told you. Did you see his pictures in
there? Yeah.
Okay, now that's the boring album, and that's good. I got to bring you some of his Turkish stuff, and he just blows me away. Well, you remember?
How'd you run across him?
Well, when I lived in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
I came across, there's so much good music out there that nobody in America ever hears.
Yeah.
So everybody comes over to my house, and they look through my CDs, and they're like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll play the music. Oh, that's DJ so-and-so. No, it's not. That DJ took the song and mixed it. Big whoop. He didn't write it. And that's the one thing I don't like about American music. I'm going to vent on that for just a second. In America, it's all about DJ.
Yeah.
And there are very few DJs that, I mean, with, like I said, very few, like Keoki and Sasha, but Digweed, boring. But they're all, everything here is based on the DJ, and the only way people ever get to hear any new music is from DJ mixes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you would actually hunt down who these people were and get their albums, but they say, oh, well, that's DJ so-and-so. No, it's not. That was Milk Incorporated, or that was Tarkan, or that was Amina,
yeah,
or that was Stella Soleil or somebody.
Well, let's face it, DJs are not musicians.
No, they get paid to mix other people's music.
They're working with other people's stuff and throwing it together, but they are not musicians.
You're right. Well, very few are.
There are a
there
few.
There are a few, but, I mean, like David Guetta. David Guetta is a DJ, but that album, he wrote the entire thing, and he sings most of it. He's not just a DJ. He is a writer. He's really good. Anyway.
Okay. So, you've got some stuff here?
Yeah. I want to make a few announcements here. Beyond Vanilla is coming up in Dallas. That's National Leather Association Dallas. That's their anniversary run, but it's become Beyond Vanilla. It's a huge conference. It goes on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
When?
September 28th through the 30th.
Okay.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Ace Weekend is coming up August 2nd.
Yes.
That's in San Antonio.
Yes, it is.
In fact,
that's
Jesse. In fact,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Jesse and a few of the other people from
like
the
Louis,
San Antonio.
You'll love Ace. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Ace is it's a lot of fun.
It is Louis San Antonio style.
There
you go. And I'll tell you what, we love to party here in Houston.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of wrote the book on partying.
Yeah.
But nobody,
they wrote a whole new chapter, let me tell
no
you.
No kidding.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The people in San Antonio are very warm, very friendly, and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
We have a blast every year we go.
I've heard lots of good things about it.
Yeah, you need to get up to ACE 1 year.
I do.
Yeah, and our very own Bob Boughton.
Yes.
Will be emceeing their show of shows.
Oh,
on
that's
that
right. That's right. Uh-huh. Bob.
Yeah. We also have August 24th, that weekend, Spankfest.
I was going to ask
and
if
Spankfest
you
is
have information on Spankfest.
Yeah, Spankfest can be August 24th,
mm-hmm.
That weekend.
I get to kill Joe again.
Yeah. That's a funny story. August, the most current thing coming up would probably have to be...
Where's Spankfest at?
At the Ripcord.
Okay.
That's at the Ripcord.
Okay.
Spankfest is at the Ripcord. It's always just... This will be the second Spankfest. The first one was just absolutely incredible.
Yes, I've heard.
And this one's going to be bigger, better, and meaner.
Ooh.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's basically sponsored by Mikey, the Ripcord, and Black Hawk Leather.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fun. The most current thing coming up in the leather community is August 11th, the Boya Montrose contest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that when it is?
It's going to be. They've set the date for August 11th. It's running a little late this year.
Yeah.
But, August 11th, that'll be at the Ripcord. I think it starts at 9 o'clock. If you want to be a contestant and run for Boya Montrose, you can get applications at the Ripcord, Black Hawk Leather.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Leather Forever.
Leather Forever.
Okay. Who sponsors Boy Montrose?
Boy Montrose, Don Gill.
Don Gill Productions?
Uh-huh.
PWA Holiday Charities.
Okay. PWA Holiday Charities.
Okay.
The Boy of Montrose is a working title.
Yes, it is.
The Boy of Montrose is
the requirements.
He raises money all year for PWA Holiday Charities Working Fund. That's what the Boy of Montrose does.
Before Daddy Bear Robert was Daddy Bear Robert, he was Boy Robert.
Yes.
And Boy Robert was a Boy of Montrose.
Yeah, way back then.
So
you remember that.
Oh, I sure do.
I set the record. I'm waiting for somebody to break my record. And I really hope one of the boys breaks my record. I do.
What was your record?
I think 3,100 and something.
Okay.
And Denning, he got so mad at me. He's like, "You bastard." He's like, "I only raised 26.
Only.
But again,
like he's a failure because
he only
raised $2,600.
For one person to raise
that's
three
a lot
grand,
of money.
To raise $3,000 in three shows.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the minimum requirement, yes, you have to go to a lot of functions,
mm-hmm.
ICOH, Charisse, represent the title, represent PWA Holiday Charities, but you're also required to put on three events of your own.
Yes.
Three fundraising events of your own. And had a blast doing it.
Plus, in the best years, you and the Daddy of Montrose and Mother of Montrose work together, too.
Yeah.
And do
fundraisers. Yeah, they usually do. But yeah. I think when I had that title, my mother...
He's laughing at me because he knows exactly what
I'm not laughing at you.
But when I wore that title, I had absent parents. There was some... But
that happens often.
Yeah. So...
We recently had a Mother of Montrose who disappeared for the very first collective show for Daddy, Mother, and Boy.
Yeah.
Daddy and Boy were there.
Mommy wasn't.
And we ended up distributing T-shirts with a milk
with
carton.
With Mommy on the milk
Have
carton.
Have you seen my mommy?
I loved that.
The milk carton T-shirts. Oh, I've got a couple of them left over. I will get you one.
Please do. Please
so,
do.
So, we've got Boy Montrose contest coming up August 11th, August 24th.
Mm-hmm.
That weekend is Spankfest. Well, August 2nd through 5th, the first weekend in August is ACE up in San Antonio. If you can get there, get there. Out of town, it's free.
ACE stands for Alamo City Entertainment. Yeah. So the whole month of August is filled.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If you're looking for something to do, you don't have to look far.
No. Well, the most current thing happening tomorrow morning, this is the Nomads anniversary.
That's right.
And the Nomads are 5 years old this year.
Good for you.
It's their fifth anniversary. It's been one of the most demented runs I've ever been on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You for that. I don't think I will get out of my head anytime soon the J. Lube wrestling That was just phenomenally disgusting. Thank you.
I'm wondering if John's got it out of his hair yet.
Well, yeah. At least Jeff shaved his head bald. You know, Jeff, he shaves his head, so he didn't have a problem. But Jeff's got a lot of fur on his chest. That was not pretty seeing all this stringy mess. And then, of course, John is in the tub by him. He's in this big, giant vat kiddie full of J-Lube. And he's sliding around and whipping it back like he's some supermodel on the beach. You know, and J-Lube is just flying and stringing all over the
place.
Then when they had to go clean it up, I mean, they slimed the whole back corner. So he's going to try to rinse it out and go for the hose, and he just slid all the way across the grass, right into the wall.
They had to turn the pool up and dump this. It was at least 8 inches deep.
Wow.
That's and a when lot they turned the pool up.
An entire case of J-Lube went in that pool. Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're going to Mary's and you go to the Outback,
Don't go near the fence.
The very back corner, stay away from that area when it's wet. For a while. It's going to be slippery.
Yeah. When you see the ants ice skating, you'll know what's going on. Yeah. But anyway, tomorrow morning, the Nomads have their closing ceremony starting at 12 noon at their home bar, which is the 611.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
It has been a weekend of 2 and 3 hour naps.
Yes. Yeah.
So, congratulations to
Congratulations, yes.
Thank you.
Indeed. On an incredible run and for just being here and being a part of our community. And I want to turn this back over to Jimmy. I want to say goodnight from Leather Ties.
Thank you.
Because I need to go home and get some sleep, too. Because I've been on this damn run all weekend, too. So, yeah. Uncle Robert's just that little hungover right now.
I see.
Yeah. My coffee's almost gone is what I'm...
Okay.
I've got to have enough coffee to get home, so I'm glad you're a coffee whore, because there's some good coffee out there.
Yes, David is wonderful.
He makes good coffee, yeah.
Keeps you awake.
He's my coffee guru.
Okay, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Gigi, you had something that you wanted to say, and I wanted to bring some newbies in.
Yes, it has been such an awesome night. With all the leather and...
Gigi. We're glad you're back in town. You've been gone for a month.
I know. Up in Colorado.
Yeah. And didn't bother to take anybody with you? Yeah.
Well, it's with Jay's parents. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Out in the woods naked, romping around with your wings on.
Yeah, I wish.
Jimmy, I brought fresh meat.
I see it.
Big boys.
Okay. Jump
the new
radio.
Okay. I'm taking them off. Baby, come here.
Well, I guess I'm listening to
So I take don't believe me.
So I take it we're all on air right now?
That's all I have to do. That's all I have to say to Gigi, and we're ready to go.
There you go, Grant. There you go.
Thank you, baby. Okay,
I'm at Jimmy's night.
No, you haven't seen everything.
No, you haven't seen half of it yet.
I'll see this way. You've got a ripcord tonight. Come on.
You just go to EJ's where... My underwear was auctioned off.
Oh, yeah.
I was at work. Trust me, I would have put in for a bid.
Jimmy, I think I made these poor boys blush.
Hell, I'm proud that somebody wants my underwear.
You know, what I would have done is donated them back to G Cam.
Oh, thank you. So all of my underwear is in a museum.
But I did want to do a quick wrap up from our show earlier.
Yes.
We did talk to Inara from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs a sacred sex temple, the Temple of the Red Lotus. And it was really amazing discovering her and her website. And, you know, I've been doing my temple for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, just stuff is popping up all over the country around sacred sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are, you know, I've been watching how new schools are opening on the Taoist techniques and tantric techniques and all kinds of things coming out of California, Hawaii, all over.
Very good.
So, you know, we're seeing this explosion, and I just wanted to kind of bring some of that here to the radio to help open the door for people.
Absolutely.
That are of kindred spirit, because there's so much to discover.
And you know how I feel. I think every cock is sacred.
Oh, me too. It is.
Yes, it is.
And mine's sacred.
No matter what size, what shape, it brings so much pleasure to the owner. It's got to be sacred.
Oh, yes. And one other note on that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
One other note.
Yes.
Joseph Kramer does a film called Fire in the Mountain.
Yes, I've heard of
that. And Fire in the Valley. I've got both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some stuff on anal massage.
Yes.
Which is really good. But one of the things he brings out on the film is how many boys' magic wands have been cut off. Circumcision.
Yes.
And there's healing through some of these techniques. To remove the damage done.
Restoring foreskins.
Well, there's that too, yeah. But I'm talking more on a spiritual level.
Oh, okay.
Healing, there's certain massage techniques that you can learn and do that will help heal the magic wand where it was cut and bring back the full magic that's supposed to be there. So he covers that a little bit in Fire in the Mountain.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Touches her.
Okay. Okay.
And then, of course, there's foreskin restoration.
Absolutely.
And everybody noticed that I look uncut nowadays. Well, I was originally circumcised, and I restored my foreskin. A year and a half.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading. It takes for me.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Taping off every
time. I don't have patience for it. Can we just do this now? I don't have patience for that.
But the beauty is, now I can feel through a condom, whereas before I couldn't. It returns so the sensitivity. So it's well worth the year and a half.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to kind of recap our show earlier on sacred sexuality, and that there is a whole new world coming. And get ready. It's opening up and it's blossoming.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now we have some new visitors.
Yes. Let's bring them on. Yes. And I should get naked again.
Well, if he wants to show it, let him do it, y'all.
John, you want to
see this? John, you sure you don't want to see this?
And you can even pat it if you want.
Derek, you going to pat it?
No.
Yes, sure.
Oh, it isn't?
Natural.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it really does.
Oh, yeah.
I would not have known.
You want to see? Here, come here. Don't be shy.
It doesn't bite, but it might spit.
Oh, my God.
They just spit, though.
So who do we have with us that's new?
Grant? Yes.
Derek.
John
in the back.
Virgin. Yay.
I'm back. It's Jose.
Hey, Jose.
And Virgin's got a beautiful blush going on.
I bet you I do.
So, Jose, you brought all these folks in.
Yes, we all met at South Beach. Mm-hmm. I knew Virgin from Numbers, and then these guys were with him, and I just met them. And, well, I met these two tonight.
I met you previously, two or three years ago at Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
That's right, I made Henry jealous.
Yeah, you're like, all the cute boys. Just that on your lap.
Of course, I do have a picture of Grant on Henry's lap. Yes, I do.
Sure, well, I'll even take my pants back off again. I'm so mad.
Oh, but you're good. But you're good. Okay, I'll take you.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, so what was going on at South Beach?
Nothing really. Next week is supposed to be some Arctic Babylon tour.
Yeah.
There's flyers everywhere.
It's a circuit party next week. But tonight was just the regular.
Just regular.
Yeah.
And trying to keep the old trolls away. And
yeah, that was fun. Booty bumping twinks and mostly booty bumping trolls and fag hags out of the way.
Yeah, I know.
I leave for an hour and these two are like cowering in the middle of the dance floor. What's wrong?
I never go to South Beach. No.
There's some guys. There should be a cutoff age for Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, the target age is like
20 to 25.
Yeah.
So.
And these guys are like, you know, 50 and they're taking their shirts off in the 6 feet.
No.
Man boobs are only for Ripcord and not South Beach.
Right. Of course, we should.
Yeah, yeah.
And the backwards baseball cap should only be worn by people under 30.
And only if you're going to be. Never mind.
Yeah, in the old days, back in the 70s, when you saw somebody with their cap on backwards, it's because they've just been to the arcade sucking dick.
Okay.
You know, you can't have that bill in front,
yeah,
you know, because you can't get close enough to the wall.
Oh, he's talking about glory hole.
Yes, I
know. I remember seeing some guys at the old quarter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The old French quarter, there was guys with their hats backwards.
Yep.
You knew what they were doing.
Yep, yep.
And you knew they were good for it, too.
You know, every time I see somebody with a cap on backwards, I just think, oh, where have you been?
What you?
Not lizard.
Now, you know who his galot lizard is.
You?
No. No, no, no.
Hey, they
got to
make money somehow.
Yes, they
there
do.
You go. There you go. We're getting close to the end.
Yes, and I wanted to bring up, we got a letter from Tigger.
Oh, we did.
Men Behind Bars.
MBBs, Men Behind Bars. Tigger writes almost every week.
He liked how Hatch handled the racial discussion.
Yes.
And the leather segment.
That was very good.
I have to put on this. As I said before, it's usually Chris's voice that I find a major turn on. But damn, Jimmy, when you got all bothered, your voice really did cool and sensual twisted things.
What?
I don't know. You were using your mouth for more than speaking last week.
Oh! Yes, I was. Yes, we were doing a demonstration.
Hell no, he won't go down.
Not knees had.
Okay, he had a question. He had a question on here, and I went and double checked it there regarding Stonewall.
Yes,
he was reading a book, and it said on that it began on June 28th, and he thought it started on June 27th.
It was right at midnight at June 27th.
Yeah, I went to Wikipedia, and it was saying 1:20.
Okay.
In the morning. So, it's one of those things that, as we claim ourselves to be a Saturday show, because we haven't gone to bed yet.
Yes.
It's one of those gray areas of that.
Yeah, since we actually come on 1 a.m. Sunday morning.
So the physical time of 1:20 a.m. was on the 28th. Mm-hmm. But that was early Saturday morning, Friday night.
Gotcha.
So hopefully that clears that
out. That would be right around like last call, I guess.
Yeah. Well.
So, and of course, Tigger put in. I forgot to pull this out and show Eddie about.
Oh, his stamps?
About the stamps.
Volume's too high on Jimmy's headphones, I think.
Well, it's just rattling around in there. All right, we're coming dangerously close.
Yes, we are.
To the end. I got to play the PSAs.
Okay.
Strangely enough, I didn't want to play the ones that they told me to play.
Imagine that.
Well, you know, it's just a twist. You know, it's a twisted little part of me. I read the election stuff, and you know that rebel in me just is kind of sticking out. So.
And
I look forward to my hiatus coming up soon.
Messerschmitt's coming up. Yes.
Messerschmitt World Domination Happy Hour.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As seen on the KPFT.org website.
Mm-hmm.
You're the featured program.
I see that hot daddy getting his CDs ready.
All right. And, you know, for some reason, I decided to stick with this one. So here's your PSA about Harry Potter.
Ooh.
All right. Okay. We'll be back next week.
Thank you, guys. The Children's Museum of Houston hosts a Harry Potter book release party on Friday, July 20th from 8 p.m. to midnight. It is hosted by Perfectus, the Houston Harry Potter meetup group. The Children's Museum of Houston is located near Herman Park. It's address is 1,500 bins. Again, the Children's Museum of Houston hosts a Harry Potter book release party on Friday, July 20th. The event is free. This is KPFT Houston.
This is Sonali Kolhatkar. The Pacifica Radio Archives is the oldest collection of public radio programming in the United States. Within its walls, you'll find a vast collection of voices like Malcolm X, Noam Chomsky, Langston Hughes, Alice Walker, Paul Robeson, Howard Zinn, Gore Vidal, June Jordan, James Baldwin, Jermaine Greer, and many, many others. Visit the new user-friendly website at www.pacificaradioarchives.org, where you can hear samples from our collection in our new Listening Salon section.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.